Blog Talk Radio.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Alrighty, and that's what we are doing today is breaking on through to the other side. And welcome to Bonnie Alvarez On Air. And today we have with us, I believe we have Amy and Peg both with us here. Let me check some numbers and let's see. Peg, have I got you?
You do. I'm here.
Alrighty, and let's see. And this has got to be Amy.
Hi.
That's you, Amy. Alrighty. Well, we have the three of us here today, and what I'm going to start with is having you guys start with Peg and tell us a little bit about you know, your books. And I hadn't realized when Bonnie said that you had made your own angel cards. That was really cool. But tell us a little bit about your books and your cards and how people can get a hold of you when we're not on air.
Okay, I'm Peg Jones, and I'm an angelic life coach, author, teacher, and I'm also a radio host. Have my own show. It's on 3 days a week now for a half hour for now. And I'm also a practitioner of the Akashic Records and a Reiki 2 practitioner also. Actually, I should say I have my Reiki 2 and Reiki 1.
Cool.
I'm not particularly a practitioner right now, but I hope to be in coming months. Let's see, what else? Oh, I published a book in 2013, Living in the Heart Place with Your Angels, Daily Angelical Whispers Throughout the Year. And it's a book of daily messages. It can help all of us. And they were given to me over a period of 2 years, and they help you to connect with your angels and your archangels, your guardian angels. There's also a daily journal exercise for each of the daily messages. So that is it. And I've been a teacher for over 30 years. Preschool and special needs teacher, and also early intervention, and so that's me.
Alrighty, thank you, Peg.
You're welcome.
All right, Aunt Amy, tell us a little bit about you. And I know you've got, I still like those Claire things on the Facebook, your Claire's, and I know you've got some other things. And I think you started your other show kind of back up again with the grief and the widow and the widow's group, although I'm not sure what it's
no,
called on
I
Blog
didn't.
Talk. Maybe you can tell us about
that is, I am, that is on hiatus, but I do have a Facebook page called Awakening Claire, which is about, just taking advantage of our extra senses and relying on our intuition in day-to-day life. My primary focus right now is I'm involved with Dr. Raymond Moody in something called the Final Words Project, where we're tracking people's final words and also trying to raise awareness and educate people as to, you know, how to participate or how to participate in the death of a loved one. I'm a hospice volunteer, and so often I go into a hospice room, and people are watching TV, and it's like, you know, this is a once in a lifetime experience here, and you're watching The Price is Right. What's wrong with this picture? And just because we've become so uncomfortable with death. So I am just fascinated by death and dying, and
that's how we
really,
deal with it,
and
helping people get more comfortable with it, or
people,
deal with it,
yeah,
or
helping people die, which means helping. The people who aren't dying, I don't even have a word for them. We usually call them loved ones, but as you know, we don't always love
the
all
survivors.
We don't even have language. That's how far removed we've gotten from death, is that we don't even have language to talk about it. So helping the
right.
family member, the people who are not dying, understand death, and I also consider myself a heaventologist. I'm fascinated with the afterlife and the possibilities, and just want to raise awareness and get people to talk about it. So that's what I do.
Cool.
I'm a mermaid. So I'm on a show. I'm on a show Thursday nights on Psychic Squad, and then I guess on Saturday mornings, and then I'm a frequent guest on here and there. On other people's shows, but I've had my show on hiatus for right now. It's difficult dealing with grievers because their grief is so different, and it's hard to sound relevant to a group of people. Grief is something that really needs to be dealt with one-on-one. So I just wasn't liking the direction the radio show was going in. So it's on the show.
Okay, I'm on the show
right.
now.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. A little bit from Peg back there. Alrighty. Well, I know we're doing readings today, and it's like we have a caller, and it's like whatever your question is, it's like Peg and Amy are here ready to answer any kind of question you might possibly have. So area code 201, we're going to start with you today. And actually, Peg, are you in a place to, where you can start out and be first out the gate here today?
I think Amy should go first because I just got disconnected and I'm trying to get back up on again. And then I can speak after.
All righty. Sounds good. Okay, well, here we go. Area code 201, you're on with us.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
Great. How
doing
are you doing
good.
Today? Who are we talking to?
I don't want to give my name, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. My question is that I'm in a situation, I'm married, and I've been married with kids for several years now, and I am drawn to another married man. and we also work together. So I wanted to know what's going to come about this situation.
Okay. It's interesting because I pulled the card. I always pull the cards right when I hear the area code. And you are going to have to I'm not going to read the cards in order, but what you're going to be dealing with for the immediate future is making a decision. Neither of these relationships is going to work unless you do this in a systematic step-by-step basis, because everything, good and bad, has energy associated with it. And until you tie up the loose ends with your current situation and your coworker ties up his situation with his current situation, because I think you said that he is also married, this is just an accident waiting to happen. And I don't want to sound like your mother or your minister or something like that, but just energetically, this is just a very dangerous situation, especially since it's happening at work, which is the which is how you provide for your family. So I just urge the cards are saying you're going to have to make a decision. And so often we like to have life make decisions for us, but not making a decision, not doing this systematically, is going to cause problems over and above hurt feelings and broken hearts. It's going to cause, it's going to affect your job. It's going to affect every aspect of your life. So I don't want to sound so negative, and I don't want to sound like I'm telling you what to do, because I'm really not. But it's just important to look at this energetically, and the energy tied to this situation has a lot of things in it that just can't end well. It's scientifically impossible for this to end well unless you do this properly. The mermaids are also telling you to have patience, and patience seems to make a good deal of sense here, because unwinding a marriage and changing your living situation and things like that, if that is indeed what you want to do, takes a lot longer than we would like it to. But they are urging you to have patience. And then finally, angels want you to know that they know that this is difficult, and the worst is now behind you. But there is still work to do, and they're just urging you to move forward with this and do the right thing, because even if you don't get caught, there's energetic consequences to things that we do when we engage in deceit and things like that. And, you know, it's fine that you didn't say your name, and totally understandable why you wouldn't say your name, but that's just a tiny small example of the toxicity of the situation in which you're dealing with. And again, I don't mean to sound harsh or judgmental when I get this reading. And at the end of the day, we all have free will and we can do whatever we want. But I just urge you to focus on the energetic consequences of the way you're handling it, and handling it in a manner where things are done in systematically and in the proper order, so that there's no residual energy to, you know, so you can go on to the next chapter of your life and be joyful and happy and not have to deal with the residual energy of things that were not handled to fruition, okay. Not handled completely.
Okay.
Peg, are you there?
Okay. Yep, I'm there, and I agree everything that you said, Amy, about making sure no one is hurt.
Anything else you pick up?
Not really, no.
Okay. Right now, we haven't really expressed our feelings that we have for each other. We're kind of people that we don't really cheat on our partners. So, you know, it's just a feeling that I have that he also has feelings for me, but I'm not too sure. That's why I called in. Do you think it's just in my head, or he probably...
No, nothing's probably just... Nothing is just in our head. Nothing is just in our head. And we are given clues and hunches and feelings, and you know, that's the whole gist of the human experience, and that is honorable. I mean, you know, again, it's not passing judgment. That's wonderful that that neither of you are the type to be unfaithful, but there's so many ways to be unfaithful. The fact that you're interested in someone else to this extent, I'm not saying I'm not in charge of marital vows, but in a way, you're violating your, you know, you're not present in your marriage, and that's why you need to make a decision. If you're not happy in your marriage, it's one thing to have friends. I'm not married right now, I'm a widow, but when I was married, and I've been married two different times, I had male friends. I would go do things with my male friends, and there was never a, I would have never called into a radio show to ask, and I'm not saying, I'm not passing judgment, because it was clear that they were friendships. They were coworkers that I was friends with, and different things like that. I'll also say that at one point in time, I had a relationship with a coworker, and I ended up getting fired. So it is, you know, that's why I'm urging, if you are interested in this person, it means you're no longer interested in your marriage. That's why you need to make a decision. Either lean into your marriage, or get out of your marriage, and then look at this relationship, or with your coworker. Why is it not just a friendship? You know, you can be friends with, there's obviously something else there. Is that being caused by an attraction to this person? Attraction is very real. Or is it being caused by a repulsion to your current spouse or to the relation? Are you repelling from the relationship? You need to make those decisions. And then take the next step. And we would all like to make the decision, like, oh, I know, if this guy's going to also leave his wife and we're going to run off and be happy forever, then I'll leave my marriage. But if I'm going to have to stand in a hallway for a while and be by myself and not know what is going to happen, I'm going to stay put. We're so afraid of change that we will stay in bad situations, or we will not make changes in our circumstances just because of the fear of change. So that's really the huge message here, is that all of this, it's not going to matter what you do, because your life's just going to, you're going to have a lot of chaos and uncertainty, and which is going to lead to unhappy until you, in your mind, make a decision. Do I want to be married to my husband, or do I want to end this relationship? And then once you make that decision, you're standing on solid ground, and that's the solid ground on which you can make all your other decisions. Again, I don't mean to be sounding harsh on, I don't, it's much easier said than done. Yeah. You know, the humans are, we're very flawed, and we make mistakes, And it's not like, oh, you're going to go to hell because you made this mistake. You're going to be unhappy. You're not going to get what you deserve. And we have people call in. Relationships are probably the number one thing that people call in about. And and it's very common. The situation that you're in is very common. So many people work home. These attractions happen.
Yeah.
Life at home gets difficult. Life at work is, I don't know, it's different than life at home. But none of it, you know, that's really the long and short of it, is you've got to make a decision, and then you've got to either commit to your marriage or commit to getting out of your marriage. And until you do that, it really doesn't matter what you do, because there's going to be a huge amount of chaos, unhappiness, drama, and it's all going to be caused from the residual energy tied to not tying up the loose ends. Peg, do you have anything else to say?
No, I agree. Definitely. I don't know, the fact that the other person hasn't said anything, he may not even be thinking in that way. I would make sure all your ducks are in order as far as what it is you want to do.
What I mean. Maybe everything is just in my head. Maybe, he's not feeling anything for me.
Sometimes
But you're obviously feeling there's something there. You know, our thoughts create our reality. And whether there's nothing there, whether you're going to end up with this person or not end up with this person is not as much significance as the fact that, this friendship with a coworker, is more than a friendship. You know what I mean? It's the fact that you've thought. I'm kind of at a loss of words here. But even if he's not interested, even if he just thinks you're friends, the fact that you've there's a situation there that needs to be addressed, and that's your unhappiness in your marriage. Because if you were happy in your marriage and this guy was there, again, it would just be a friendship. You know, people, males and females, have been working together for, since the days of the 60s, the days of Mad Men. And they go to lunch and they joke and this and that. It doesn't always turn into a male-female or sexual whatever relationship. It doesn't impact your marriage. Probably even improves your marriage because you've got other friends. It's always friends of another gender when you just give yourself, just take a long, hard look at your marriage and just decide, do you want to be married to your husband or not? And then once you make that decision, a lot of the other decisions are going to fall into place. But you can't leave your husband for another. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but you can't leave your husband for another man and expect that the universe is just going to hand that to you on a silver platter. There will be enormous energetic consequences.
Okay.
Say, were there some children involved too? Because that that makes a difference too. Is what you're preparing your children for? Because whatever decisions the adults make, the children are kind of the hate to say the fallout victims, but it's like they are stuck with whatever decisions the adults make. And depending on their ages, it's like makes a huge difference in how they turn out.
They will be affected either way, as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah, we both have kids. Our kids are young. And I mean, we try to ignore each other, we try to avoid each other, but obviously there's a connection there. And I know it's wrong, and I know nothing good is going to come about it, but, you know, it's just, at the end of the day, I feel what I feel, you know? And my husband's great. He's a really nice person, and I don't want to end my marriage, but at the same time, I have a connection with this person. I am not physically attracted to him. I have this connection. And we don't even talk that much. So I don't know where this connection is coming from.
Well, those are decisions that you're going to have to come to on your own. But clearly, if your marriage was on solid ground, you would not. There wouldn't be this confusion about this other man. He would just be a work friend. So it's fine. You know, it's fine. It's not like you're being. It's not. And here's the thing that, you know, and it's honorable that you are honoring your marriage vows, but it's like that energy is still there, and you've got to explore what the issues are in your marriage that are causing this energy with this person you work with to be so awkward. He should just be a work friend if there wasn't something else going on. So again, just go back to it's difficult, and this things like this happen to people every day. So it's uncomfortable. Some of these words that are coming out, I feel slightly uncomfortable that because there's judgment tied to it, and it doesn't, and I don't intend for it to come out that way. Just to know that if it was anything, if we changed the scenario, and it was like we weren't talking about men, we were talking about jobs or something like that. The same thing, the same energy would happen if it was like a job and you were like getting ready to go to a new job and you were already going to work for them on the side or something. You know, anytime we're engaging in stuff like that, we're creating bad energy. The fact that you could not say your first name, which is, again, is fine and understandable, but that it just is just a statement as to where you are in your mind about this. You know, where you're not feeling good about yourself, and you're not going to be able to feel good about this until you take a long, hard look and decide whether you want to be married or not. But anyway, with that, thank you for trusting us.
Yes,
it was such a difficult
question. I've got a couple questions. This is what would be called the rhetorical questions. If you were told that this person, that this man, coworker, had feelings for you, what would you do? You know, these are kind of the questions to sit down with and, maybe write them out for yourself. And the other thing to contemplate is if he had feelings for you by now, I think somehow or other he might have made it known, question. And, and then there's also, like a lot of the questions, you can go back and get this in archives too, where Amy has asked some really good ones is, how do you stand on this? It's like, do you love your husband? What are the issues you guys have? Can you work them out? Can you go to counseling, the both of you guys, there's like marriage counseling stuff. And it's like, because there's things being, unexpressed. Obviously, otherwise you wouldn't even, probably be contemplating this other person. But, you know, it's kind of a thought, too. It's like, you know, if this other guy had feelings for you, you know, if it's been months, you know, wouldn't he have made something known? And it's like, and what would he, you know, what would your response be if he suddenly came out and said, oh, yes, you know, I love you madly, you know, whatever. But what if he said, okay, I'm not going to leave my wife for you. You know, I just want to have something on the side. I mean, you know, there's all these different scenarios you can probably, you know, play out. But you know, just some of those, you know, contemplative questions, and like I say, you know, might be a really good thing to say, you know, to your husband. It's like, honey, we are, you know, I'm, and you don't have to, you know, make it his problem. Just say, you know, I'm having some concerns, and it's like, I would like to go, you know, to marriage counseling and discuss some things, you know, and get some things out in the open, you know, about things that you're not happy with your relationship with your husband. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I have tried everything. My husband's just very conservative. He's not going to change. I have tried for years and years. He's just not going to change. I have even asked him, are you provoking me to have an affair? You don't show me any emotions. You don't talk to me, nothing. And he laughs. He thinks I'm never going to have an affair. It just wouldn't happen.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I am not blaming my husband. He's a great guy. He's a great husband. He does everything right. He doesn't lie to me. He doesn't cheat on me. But he's just doesn't show emotion. He's just very straightforward. Go to work, take care of the house, take care of the kids, and that's it.
Wow, so it's just okay. So, and what are you wanting? You're wanting more, I mean, do you wish you'd be like a spiritual leader or, you know, romantic and do flowers and hearts or,
Yes, I crave for romance. I crave for love. I never really had a relationship. This was a setup marriage, so I can't really say we were in love when we got married. It was an arranged marriage. So I love him because obviously if you live with someone for 10 years, you're going to grow to love them. You're going to get attached. But
Right. There's
no passion in it. You know, I never had that emotion where I am badly in love with someone. And
Right. When
this person showed me this type of attention, this other man doesn't say anything, doesn't say anything, doesn't flirt with me. It's just the way he looks at me that makes me feel beautiful. And I tell my husband every day that there's so many men on the street complimenting me, but you never say I'm beautiful. In 10 years of marriage, he has never said I love you to me. He doesn't believe in love.
Wow.
So when I say that, when I tell him that, he says, well, they're saying you're beautiful because they want sex. So I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, there's no way I can change my husband. And for some reason, I think I'm meant to be married to my husband because I'm very religious. So I just know it, that God made my husband and me and put us together for a reason. And there's no other man I would be married to. I don't think so. But at the same time, I have this connection with this other man. I mean, as I said, we don't flirt, we don't talk. It's just the way he makes me feel. Just by looking at me.
No, I mean, I get it. I get it totally, and it's just a very, your story's fascinating, and your story's your story is fascinating, and it's fascinatingly, it's also incredibly painful. Because here's this person who is being a good, you know, he's being, like you said, he's such a good husband. But no, he's not. He's a good provider. He's a good provider. He's a good father. But he's not honoring his marriage vows, you know,
I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, there's this man at work who I think likes me. And my husband just laughs. He thinks it's funny when I tell him that men are interested in me. And I tell him, what if one man decides to woo me and I fall for him? I fall for another guy. And he laughs. He says, that would never happen because you're never going to have an affair. It's just not you.
Yeah, and so then, you might not ever have an affair. You might not ever have an affair, but, you know, you could drive yourself to madness in the process.
And I did tell my husband, I'm like, what if I do have an affair and I decide to divorce you? And he said, well, if he doesn't believe that will happen ever, and if
it should happen. Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
And if that should happen, he says that obviously he will blame himself because he knows that he didn't give me what I needed.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of finding the blame and everything like that. You know, it's almost like I can't think of what that word is. So like daring you to go have an affair. He knows you're of high moral character and, take your religious teachings seriously. So he's not going to change. He's not honoring his marriage vows by not participating, you know, being a romantic partner and pushing you to do something that would cause you, I can see, a great deal of emotional distress because your religious beliefs are so important to you. So, it's quite a story. You've already spoken to him, but again, it really goes back to where you have to make a decision. Do you want to be married to this man? And
at least until the children are grown.
Yeah. I mean, overall, yeah, it's not right. It's not right thing to do for something that is just up in the air. I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, I'll leave my husband for another man. I don't want to say that, but
that's
it
the
is
whole
like
point.
That.
You have to leave. If you're going to leave your husband, you have to leave your husband for yourself, not for another man. And you can't stay, you know, it's difficult, but you can't leave your husband for another man. You have to decide, is your husband, and only you can decide, is your husband, do you want to be married to this man? And, you know, you weigh out the pros and cons and, you know, having a good provider and having a stable family life for your children and all those things, that may be worth the price that you are paying. And it may not be, but you have to decide
do you want to be married? Do you want to be married to this man? And if the answer is yes, and then suddenly some, you know, you feel the attention that you're craving from other men, you know, partially, maybe that's enough. Maybe the fact that people just look at you like you're a sensuous, you know, beautiful woman is enough. And you can get those needs met just by the way people look at you, the way other men look at you or something like that. But if that's not going to be enough, then, you know, you're going to be unhappy. But anyway,
I got a couple other thoughts here I just want to share really quick. And this is something I ran across just a few nights ago, just, you know, to drop this into contemplation. And then there's actually someone else called in on the line who would like to talk with you just a little bit, because she's been typing stuff in chat. My thought here is every thought, feeling, word and deed or action has an impact on our own bodies as well as on the universe. When we change our thoughts, feelings, words and deeds or actions, it will affect everyone and everything in the physical and spiritual world. It kind of goes with, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie or, you know, the book The Secret by Rhonda Byrne or the DVD. But there's one segment in there where it talks about a wife, you know, how she responds to her husband being late for dinner, this kind of stuff. And then on the flip side, it showed how she chose to respond differently to what he had, you know, what his actions, and she chose a different response. And in return, he got a different response. Okay. Let's see. But there's another person here who would like to just have a few words here, and it's like I'm going to put her on, and this is somebody you guys might recognize here. So here's our other caller who would like to speak to our current caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, someone's breathing into their mic really hard. But anyway, or they're
probably
out in
me,
the wind.
Sorry.
Or they're out in the wind. So I just have been listening, and I've heard you call other shows before, and it there's just a couple thoughts that I had. Number one is the guy at work, set that aside. Okay, you, like, honestly, I think if this guy really had something, do you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like gurgling.
What is
can
it?
You mute? Can you, who doesn't hear that?
I don't hear,
I hear
that.
It.
Okay, then mute the caller just for a second while I talk, okay?
Okay, let's see.
And then that'll get rid of that noise. Okay, and that'll be better. It's sort of, I get very distracted because of my... Oh, it's still there.
Nope, it's still there. Darn. Okay, let's see. Let's see if we can figure out who it is.
Okay, never mind. I'll just say this and get this painful thing over with, you know. So put this thing with the guy aside. Let's go back to your husband. Okay, and just my comments on this is that, and I don't know how long, and you got, you know, and how you tried before, and he wants to just provide for the family. It's an arranged marriage. Can you mute every mic except mine?
Okay, guys, hang on here.
I'm
every mic
muted,
except
but that noise is horrible. So if we can just mute everybody, that'd be great.
Okay, here we go.
Sorry, I'm all bossy. I'm getting on someone else's show.
Okay.
So
I'll try not to breathe.
I don't pretend to know, you know, all of the steps before this guy at work and this connection. Number one thing, if there's a connection with the guy that is romantic, he would have made a move by now, blah, blah, blah. If there's a connection on a very deep friend level, like a soulmate level, and you just to be a soulmate, you don't have to be a sexual partner, then you would know that by now, okay? Like, you just would know. So to tell me that the guy is not really talking to you, but it's the way he looks at you. You walk downtown anywhere, and there's a lot of guys that'll look at you in certain ways. This doesn't mean that they love you, care about you, want to make any kind of connection with you, or that if they spent 3 hours with you, that they would like you at all. Now, back to the husband. It just occurs to me that, and again, I don't know who was right, wrong, who did the bad thing first or whatever it is or where the dysfunction came from. It was an arranged marriage, but there is no way you're going to arouse a man and turn a man on by starting into a list of all the other guys that look at me and what if I go cheat on you and you're not this and you're not that and you don't be romantic with me and you're listing off all the things that is wrong with him. It's going to be pretty darn hard for a guy to get all romantic when he's being nagged or when he's being told everything that's wrong with him and oh, one of these days I might run off and cheat on you, you know, or what if I ran off and cheated on you, you know? And so it just seems to me like if I go fishing, for example, and I'm using a bait, you know, and the fish aren't biting on it, I'm got to change my bait. You know what I mean? Like you got to change something. The definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. And so you need to find a different way that's more constructive to communicate with your husband. And you, even if that's, well, you turn me on, I wish I, it would be like, what could I do to change that could help to make us have a more romantic thing? Like take some of the responsibility and say, this is really important to me. And I love you. You're my husband, and you're a great provider for our kids. And I would love for us to be able to deepen our relationship in another way so that we could have a more full life together. And, you know, so anyway, those are my comments. It's like you're not going to turn this husband on by criticizing and telling him all the other men want you, but he doesn't want you. So if that makes any sense, take that for what it's worth. But I also think that if, because I've heard this go on for a long time now with you, and like I just think that regardless of the guy at work, you need to make a hardcore decision about if you're not happy in your marriage, you need to do something about that. And that's either to work very hard to improve it or to leave it. And if you're going to say, no, I don't want to leave my husband, I'm not going to ever leave my husband, then what you need to do is stop complaining about it. You know what I mean? And so there, I'm done.
All righty. Thank
well,
you, Chris.
Chris is the host of Curious Times, and she insists that she's not a psychic, but she just has such keen insight.
She has amazing insight.
The human condition and the silly things that humans do.
So
thank you.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So I just wanted to just respond to that comment. Yes, I have tried many different ways. I have been married 10 years. I decided I should send flowers. In order to get flowers for my husband, I should send flowers. No, it didn't work. I decided I should call my husband every hour of the day and tell him I love you just so he can tell me I love you. No, didn't work. I decided maybe I should celebrate his birthday. Maybe I should celebrate our anniversary. Maybe I should do all the romantic things just so I can get some kind of response. But no, nothing. Yes, I get that, that he's not going to be turned on if I tell him that all men are hitting on me. But he knows all men hit on me, and he still gets turned on.
But have you ever just had a conversation with him like, honey, I love you, dear. Like, all the head games aside,
yes,
just very, very direct.
I have done every possible thing.
Okay, so are you satisfied in your relationship, yes or no?
That's the bigger issue. But I just want to say that please don't make comments like that. I have done everything.
No, fair. Okay, that's great. Now, but my point is that you've done all of that, and it's not changed anything. So you need to make a decision. Just wait. You need to now make a decision. Is this acceptable to me? Am I prepared to live the rest of my life with this man who is giving me no love? Or is it time for me to move on? Because I've done everything that I can to have a release. This is also no way to raise children, you know, because they're watching in a relationship and they're in a very unhealthy witness role, and they're going to go forward and have highly dysfunctional relationships because that's how mommy and daddy did it. And so, you know, you're not doing anybody any favors by staying. You're not doing yourself any favor. You're not doing your husband any favor. You're not doing your children any favor. My point is simply that if you've done all of that and nothing has changed, you ask yourself, is that good enough for me? Am I prepared to live the rest of my life like this? If the answer is yes, then stop complaining about it. If the answer is no, then do something about it.
Change
That's
it.
My point.
Yep.
And forget
okay.
about the
yeah,
guy
the,
at
the gurgling.
Work. None of this has
yeah,
anything to do with the guy at work. It's that simple. And now you guys can mute me. And thank you for allowing me.
Thank you for coming on, Chris. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Like, you're always insightful. For somebody who's not psychic, you're highly insightful. Oh, goodness.
No, that was scary.
All righty.
The truth is all that we can deliver on these shows is the truth. And sometimes it's pain. And I have seen people on Blog Talk shows say what people want to hear. And that's not why we. That's not
it
why
we're
here.
It doesn't serve the higher good.
So
no.
I appreciate the caller's courage for sharing the story. You know, we can't manipulate the truth. You know, we're here to bring truth, and sometimes the truth is painfully uncomfortable, and. But all we can do is bring forth the truth.
You know, I will say, I hope this helps in some way. And I think Chris, and I'm thinking, you know, I know that's why Peg said she hasn't, you know, put much in. She's heard this question before too. And ultimately, what it comes down to is like, you know, if this was a group setting and we were all sitting around, you know, the coffee table having tea, it would ultimately come down to everybody might have an opinion. But, you know, the ultimate thing is it's your life. It's your children's life. It's like, what do you want to do? So you need to find within yourself what you want to do. Make that decision and go forward with it, which is exactly what Chris said. It's like, you know, it's like it's time for you to, you know, am I going to cut bait or fish? You know, what am I going to do? And whatever you're going to decide to do, be happy in your heart with it. You know, if you decide to leave your husband, leave him. You know, if you decide to take the children with you, take them with you. You know, whatever, it's like whatever works. But what really caught my ear was the fact it was an arranged marriage. I'm like, oh, okay, that's, you know, that's not real common, I'll say, probably in the United States. So I'm thinking, you know, you might be from another country or something. But that's amazing. I mean, in this day and age, it's like that you didn't actually, you know, have a choice. And at the same time, I mean, I know I've watched like Fiddler on the Roof where, you know, Golda and Tevye, you know, they had an arranged marriage and they fought like cats and dogs. You know, it's like they were always, you know, at each other, but it's like after 25 years, you know, they did come to the conclusion they loved each other. It didn't, you know, it doesn't change a thing, but even so after 25 years, it's nice to know. So, you know, and trying to get your husband to say, you know, yeah, I love you, honey, or to be somebody he's not. That's you know, the only person you can ever change is yourself and your response to it. And it's, you know, at this point in time, all we can do is encourage you to say, you know, make your decision, make what you can live with, and then go forward with that. And, you know, I hope that makes some sense. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think each time I was contacted, I believe I said the same thing. So, you know, I see her dilemma, but it's almost like it has nothing to do with the person at work, you know, and I think that's
right.
What
it's an extreme, because there can be 20 or 30 or 50 other guys. I mean, you know, we all have attractions to a lot of different people on this planet and for different reasons. I mean, the Greeks had five different words for love. You know, there was storge love, there was agape love, there was eros love, there was filial love. There was, I don't know, I can't remember, there was more, but each of them, you know, described a particular type of love. And we can have a lot of different love for a lot of different types of people, our children, our brothers, our, you know, our spouses, you know, the principal godly love, love for our God. You know, so there's a lot of different ways we relate to people. And, you know, you can even have a relationship with the guy who, you know, checks your groceries at the grocery store, you know, because they're people in our neighborhood, kind of like Mr. Rogers. So it's how you want that person to fit in. And, I mean, I can tell this has been something that's obviously been, you know, working on the mind of our caller here for a long time because, you know, she does. She keeps, you know, calling into different shows and, you know, wanting some help with this. And I get it. I mean, it's like, I think we all get it. And the, you know, the bottom line is, though, it's your life. And, you know, you've got to make that decision and go forward with what, you know, you believe is the right thing and what you believe is right for yourself. And, of course, it's harder when there's children involved because, I mean, I got 5 children, believe me. I've made some decisions that were, I'll just say I looked at them before I made a decision that was, you know, going to affect them. And sometimes I just live with things because I went, okay, this is going to negatively impact them. And it's like, and I know that I can survive this and I can be put on a happy face and be happier with it, whereas they won't. And it's like, and what am I teaching them? So, you know, because that's a big thing. It's like, what are they going to learn in their relationships? Are they going to replicate, you know, mom and dad's relationship, or are they going to look for something that truly, genuinely makes them happy? You know, so, and I'm sure you've contemplated, you know, a lot of that. You know, given a lot of soul searching to this, and I'm hoping that what we've said today makes any sense or helps.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think we all tried to help the woman, you know, to the best of our knowledge without, you know,
It's not judgment. It's just saying, you know, it's like whatever is right for your life. It's like nobody here is going to hold you in judgment.
Yeah.
You know, but you just got to make a decision and go on and, you know, and live with your decision. That's the big thing. It's like, look down the road 15, 20, 50 years, you know, whatever, and say, is this what I want out of my life? Is this what I need? Is this what is going to be good for, you know, the whole? I mean, and if you want to put it in prayer, you know, religion there, it's like, you know, I mean, I say prayers and I say whatever is for the best, highest, most positive, loving, beneficial good of all mutual parties involved, show me the path, show me the way. And I get a lot of direction. I do. I get a lot of direction in my life because I ask for it. And it's like, but you also have to be willing to take that direction. So, you know, and I would say, don't take it from humans. You know, it's like, absolutely, get right with your God. Get right with, you know, what you perceive God to be and walk that way. Because that's the only thing that's going to ultimately, you know, make you happy. And whatever it was on her end of the line, it's like she's not muted, and so it's like, but I haven't heard her, and it's like, but there's not that fuzzing going on. So, caller, I was like, I hope we've helped you today or made some sense.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. You're on.
Thank you for everyone's advice. I know at the end of the day it's my decision, and it's not something that I want to break my family over. Definitely I can put on a happy face. Like the other caller said, that maybe it's not good kids, but I just wanted to remind everyone that despite the fact my husband doesn't show me love, he loves my kids. He loves our kids. I love my kids. My kids are brought up in a home where there's a lot of love. Yes, definitely. Sometimes you just put on a happy face for the sake of the kids and move on. And, yes, it is the way I live my life. It may not be the right way, but I'm going to break my family over it. But at the same time, I am a human. I do have feelings. I do spend a lot of time at work, same amount of time as I spend at home. So, and at the same time, I do fight the feelings. I avoid the person. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can, but I can't help what I feel, and I cannot talk my friends. I cannot talk to my family about the situation. So the only other option I have is to talk to people on Blog Talk Radio.
Right, right.
Seeking advice.
Well, and we get that, and, you know, we would say, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, call in, you know, when you need to talk, because it sure is, you know, it's a better valve than some other things, and it's like, I know how it is to not be able to talk to your family about things, because they just don't see eye to eye with you things, but I will say, you know, I appreciate you calling in, and we do have some other callers that we got to get to today, but I'll put you back on hold, and, you know, like I say, I hope it's helped some, and I hope it's helped for you to be able to express this today.
Yes, thank you.
All righty. Well, we will talk to you again. All right, guys, here we go, and we will get to our next caller here. We have area code 630 that called in today, and 630, you are on with us. Thank you for being patient.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Who have we got?
My name's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Okay. Lisa? Peg, you want to go first? Are you ready?
How can I help you? Okay, so my question is, I have kind of an offer that hasn't gone through yet on my place. It's been on sale for 6 weeks, seven weeks. I'm not so sure this is the right person. There's been all kinds of problems. I'm just wondering what the best timing is, because I'm getting offers, but I feel that they're just not as good as they should be, and I don't know if this is the right time, and I need to wait a little more. I don't know.
This is for a job?
No, for my home, for the sale of my home.
Oh, okay.
It went on the market 7 weeks ago, and this is probably my second really, like, viable offer, and I don't know. These people I don't feel have been, my realtor's not helpful, and I don't feel like the people have been really, maybe they're not the right
one. Do you feel like you should get more for it?
Excuse me. I do. You know, I feel like it's selling it out, but then where I want to move, it's like it's rising in price much more rapidly. So
okay.
That I got it, like to wait continually is going to be very bad for me. Because the prices are going up where I want to be. So, you know, it could be even disastrous if you wait another year. I won't be able to purchase
at
that price.
I mean, are you waiting to put it back on the market?
No, I'm just feeling like maybe like May or June. Like I already have someone else coming today to see it. I have someone else tomorrow. I almost feel like maybe I still could get a little bit higher, you know, like August, September, like maybe there's something else that's better than this. I don't know.
I would, you know, see what the two people say tomorrow, and I don't know.
What do you think about these people that are making this offer and there's something pending and they haven't gotten back? And do you see them as the right owners for this? I mean, I've been here a long time, and I just don't want to, I got to make this right decision, you know, because just things haven't gone up, they, you know, they went up and they went down so bad because of the crash. So,
I don't really know a whole lot about selling homes. Maybe Amy and Kelly would have a better
I just wondered if you're thinking, like, you know, what you see as being, like, happening with this place. Like, when do you think, do you see some things, in the air happening, you know, that might be the right people?
I'll chime in here, and then Peg can chime back in as she fit. But, no, this is not, you're being helped from above. So this feeling that you have that this is not the right person, that is a message. You know, that's a message.
Yeah, I believe it too. Like, he's trying to make me sign a contract maybe, and now I'm going to just go back and not sign it. I'm just going to say I need more time and just not, you know, if I don't sign a contract,
this is
there's
not
no
bringing
deal.
You, this is not, okay. This is what I got from my gut, and the cards are,
are bringing forth the same thing. And I'm going to start in the middle.
Wait, I'm sorry. I like what you're saying so much. So what are you seeing
that you are being guided. You are being guided as to not just the price. This is more than about money. This is about finding a caretaker sort of for your home. And the person who you've got this contract with right now,
I don't have a contract with anybody. I never signed anything.
Okay, or got an offer, yeah. got the offer from, mm-hmm. is not the right person. They really want you to relax about it because they're helping you. They really want you to relax about this whole thing because when it is the right person, you are going to know.
And I'll get the right price. I'm not getting the right price. I'm not right now. And
You're going to get the right person and the right price.
Okay, what type of timing do you see? Do you see that being later this year, like June, July, August?
June. It's going to be it's going to be like June, first part of July, after school, June or July. It's just around the corner.
Okay. I'm not going to sign a contract because I feel like they're going to be a problem all around. They don't want to give me time to find something, and I need at least 2 months to be able to, find something in my new location. And it's just a lot of things. Because for me, it's a combination after being here a long time. It's like the right people and the right price, both.
You're going to get them both. You're going to get them both. Because here's the thing. If you've been very clear to the universe what you want. The universe can't stop other people from coming. The universe can't put up barricades and block off the people who are not what you want because they have free will. So it's up to you to just be steadfast in the idea that you have a clear idea of what you want and then have faith that the universe is going to help you get that.
I need to get a new real estate agent, though. He's stopping everything. I feel like he's, plugging this whole system up. In May, my contract's up with him, and I already...
Because he sells it, he gets some money, and it's not that big of a difference, since he's just getting a commission, $20,000-$30,000 price difference, that goes down to $300 or $400, not thousands of dollars.
For me, it does. For me, he doesn't.
For
totally
you, it
care
does,
about
but
me.
For him, he just gets his money. He gets his money and can move along. And
I already have two people in mind. I already have two other people in mind, and May 1st I'm going to start interviewing
the universe
and setting
work,
up.
The universe, you've been very, very clear to the universe as to what you want. But then, you've got that part of the manifesting down. What is equally important and something that all of us are not so good at is to... the waiting part. The universe isn't just going to send you it's not magic. It's not like Bewitched where you just twitch your nose and the perfect people came. So the wrong people are coming, but you're getting a little bit consumed with some doubt. It's like, oh, it's the best I'm going to do, but it's not. But you know it's not. I mean, you already know that it's not the right person. You're really just calling for confirmation. You're very clear to the universe as to what you want. The universe is going to give that to you. You're just in the part where you're standing in the hallway. So, and the people who have come with that are not the right people. It's clear to you that it's not the right people. But it's like
It doesn't matter. I didn't think it was going to sell yet. I kind of know in my heart. It's coming. It'll be the right people. You need to be patient. I need to clear it out, get rid of this guy, get the right person in after May, and just let it happen. And just, I know it. It's right. I've known it for a long time. This has been many years in the making. So I'm just going to just, you know, we're not worried about it. And then, like, when I buy, do you think I'll be able to outright buy for my new location, or am I going to have to rent for a few months? Because I only might have, like, 2 months to kind of find something. You know, you have to, like, move out of here. You know, you can't. People won't let you.
I think you've called us before because some of this story sounds familiar, and I'm, I believe I said the same thing the last time, and I feel the same thing as well, is that in order to get, because you are very particular, and in order to get what you want, you know, you need to be very specific as to what you want, and you're going to have to engage in this same waiting game. That's not just so I have, so you need to be willing to move into some sort of temporary situation, because I get a strong sense that the universe is trying to teach you a lesson about getting what you want, and that it doesn't just come, that you can be very specific in what you want, and you will get it, but we're not always going to get it in our time. So what many people do is instead they settle for less.
And I've done that, and I'm not happy. I can't do that. I just
right, and that's not, or else this wouldn't even be a question. This wouldn't even be a concern. But I believe that if you become willing, so often if we become willing to do something, we don't. So many times I have been in situations where I had to become willing to do something that I really didn't want to do. And just the mere fact that I became willing to do it, that shift, because I changed my mind, which was really what the goal was, I didn't have to do what I didn't really want to do. But because I became willing, like honestly willing in my heart, not begrudgingly, not,
oh my God, I got to go move all my stuff, and then I got to move again, and what a hassle, like right now, I don't want to do it.
I became willing. And then I didn't have to do it because I learned the lesson. The lesson was, you know, that I was stubborn or, you know, too demanding or, you know, whatever the lesson was. As long as you learn the lesson, then you don't have to do that. So if you become willing to move to temporary quarters, because you're holding fast to this idea that you are going to get exactly what you want, what you're asking the universe for, that is going to be an important lesson. And chances are the timing will work such that you will not, that you'll be able to go straight into your next home. But the big lesson here on both sides of this equation, the universe wants to show you that you can get exactly what you want, but you've got
to go
the distance. You've got to you've got to be willing to wait, and you've got to be willing to discern, not so much the waiting part, but the discernment. Like, because the universe is going to send you other stuff, and you're going to have either the discernment or the courage or the faith, or some word, it might be a little of all each of those things, that to say, no, this, I don't want this. I don't want this.
Exactly.
I don't, this
Go
is
deep
not
down
the
inside.
Right owner.
Go deep down inside and make the right decision, which I can do.
And then
what
stick
I need
by
to do.
Decision. Don't give up and say, oh, this is all that the universe is going to give me. This is a very, very important lesson
for you that you can be specific and get exactly what you want. You can get the exactly the price you want for your house, and you can get exactly the right odor. You can get exactly the right owner, and you can get exactly the right new home. But you've got to
And it's a lesson for everything, right?
It's not going to just come. And then once you learn this for this, it's going to start applying to everything, little stuff, like stuff you buy in the grocery store, and big stuff, and relationships, and everything. But it's a matter of that. It's not like you just ask for something and the universe gives you that. It's going to give you other stuff, and it's going to be up to you to show the universe how badly you want what you want by saying no to what you don't want.
Okay. What's your name, ma'am, again?
Amy.
Amy, thank you so much. It is so on target. And, you know, he told me I'm going to sign a piece of paper. He says, you're going to sign it if I give it to you now after all this. I'm like, I'm not going to sign anything. These people didn't respond back, and it's not the right thing, and I need more time, and that's it.
Right,
yeah.
And that's what the lesson, that's what, you know, everything that gets put in our life is a lesson, and sometimes as soon as we figure out what the lesson is, then we know how to, master it, and then it won't happen to us anymore. Once we master it, it doesn't happen to us anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing, is that once you do this, you know, it's not going to, you're going to have such certainty, you know, and you're going to have, it's really going to hone your discernment.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised by parents that tried their best, but they never let us think that we deserved a lot, so I kind of brought myself up thinking I'm not going to get the best, and it affected me in a lot of ways. I really need to wait and discern, because it's not my fault what happened growing up, but I can now take control of it and learn from it and, you know, just look at it like a learning lesson and not be upset about it even. Just say, thank you, universe, for what you're giving me now, because, you know, I feel very blessed. I mean, I'm not homeless. I mean, I have a beautiful home still, and it can take a little more time, but, you know, like the lessons are right in front of me right now with the selling of this home and the changes, and right now is the time to ask.
Mention that thing about your childhood, and that we're on the right track here, because, you know, you were, but then, you know, your parents came in, and that was a challenge to be like, I deserve more. And that doesn't mean oh, I deserve more, like you're just going to live in opulence, like, you know, the Real Housewives or whatever, stealing other people's stuff. It's just that, no, you deserve to be able to, and this was a little tough for one of the lessons I had, because my mother was very cheap. She was really, really cheap, and so we would have, like, fake stuff and, like, fake food, you know, and it was like, no, I would rather have nothing than that. You know, I would rather have nothing than that. And
you knew that when you were little?
I didn't know that. It was a very hard lesson for me to get to that point, because what I did was I went and accumulated tons and tons of things, and then I got sick, and my husband got sick, and my husband died, and I lost all my money, so I lost all my things. Then I realized I overcompensated for that kind of childhood that you're talking about by just going out and getting everything, you know, just like lavish spending, running up credit cards, gluttony we usually associate with food, but whatever, it wasn't good, it was not godly, it was disgusting, you know, designer purse, you know, I looked at all this stuff we had, you know, Hummer limousine for my daughter for the prom, you know, just go out and get everything, but then the universe came and took all that stuff away, but now I'm left with you know, it's like I can have what I want. The universe can give me what I want, and I didn't really want, you know, who knows, I didn't really want all those things. Who even knows what it was, but it was just sort of a reaction to that same sort of childhood. And then as I had to rebuild my life after I got wiped out, it was like, I would rather have nothing. Like, I want to live on the ocean. So, yeah, so I live on the ocean. I live on 300 square feet, but I live on the ocean. And now, you know, I want a convertible. Well, I used to have a Mercedes convertible. Now I have this beat-up Volkswagen convertible that's like 18 years old. But I want a convert, you know, so you learn to get, you know, that you are entitled to have, you don't have to settle for, you don't have to settle for less. You don't have to settle for less.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
We don't settle for less in relationships and everything else. But thank you so much for calling and keep us posted.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you for calling in. And let us know.
Okay. I keep getting kicked out of the chat room, but anyway.
Oh, no. All right. Well, that's not our fault. That's still blog. It's like, I think Chris is going on a month for that, where people getting randomly kicked out, and don't feel bad, because I got kicked out of chat room yesterday, and I was the co-host. So it truly knows no bounds. Yeah. All righty. Let's see. We got a couple more callers here. We got... 720 actually made it back in there, so I'm going to take them first, and then we'll go to 905. So 720, you are on with us.
Hi, it's Fran. I'm from Denver. And
I'm just calling
to see what you guys see regarding when my property will close.
Oh, okay, property closing. Okay, Peg, you want to take the first go at this?
When your property will be closing?
Uh-huh.
As far for a house or, I mean, for a sale?
Yeah, sale, townhome.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
How long has it been on sale for?
I took it on and off the market because I did renovations, but it's been on now for, I would say, maybe 3 months now.
Okay.
But, I mean, a total of probably a year or so, just because we did renovations and we took it on and off.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing to, you know, keep it on sale for a couple more months, see what happens over the summer, you know, take note of who comes to see the house and... you know, also, if you're not pleased with the realtor that you have, then maybe, you know, you might want to have someone else look at it. You know,
I'm selling it. I'm not, I'm the seller, not the buyer.
Okay. Have people come to look at it?
Oh. Excuse me, yes. I've had a showing pretty much every day, you know, since the weather has calmed down, especially because in Colorado there was a lot of snow and weather changes.
Okay, well, let me get a card and see what the angels say, if the angels have any advice for you. Well, the first card that came up was Archangel Michael, you know, and Archangel Michael is all about protection and safety. And I feel like, you know, he's helping you to kind of manifest the right person for the house. Have people made offers for the house?
Not yet. I've had a lot of people come through. One of the things is that an investor had come and just flipped a home or another townhome nearby. I mean, like four units down. And so he kind of brought the comps down. But right when you look over the fence where we're at, you know, that just encloses, encases our property, I mean, two bedrooms go for more than what I'm selling my four-bedroom, four-bath.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he's saying that, so is he saying he can help you, or?
It's who's saying?
The realtor.
Oh, I mean, I've been, I'm just wondering when it's going to close. What do you mean if he can help me? It's already on the market.
Yeah, I think these things take time, and I think people take their time, too, in making decisions. But the fact that you're having people come in each day, you know, that's a good sign. And you know, and take note of what they say as far, you know, is the, you know, of how they feel about the place, the price, you know, whether it's too high, too low, and you know, just kind of go with the flow. I feel like, you know, you just need to kind of wait and kind of go with the flow and see what happens over the summer and then make some decisions. The angels don't predict for me as far as time, so I really can't give you time, but I am hearing, you know, to just, you know, go through the spring and the summer and see what happens, then make your decisions. So that's basically what I'm hearing. Amy, what are you hearing? Is Amy there?
Sorry,
Amy?
I had, well, I was on mute to eliminate some of the background noise, and so you missed everything I had to say. Anyway, but the angels are telling me that you are doing, you are doing your homework on this as far as, you know, the what you were talking about how, you know, you've got the comps in the area and different things like this. And the big message that I'm getting is for you to simplify your life. I don't know. You said you've done renovations. You said you've done renovations to the home and since you've done renovations to the home, but there might still be too much stuff in that. There might still be too much stuff in the house that that is, the card says eliminate clutter from your home to balance the flow of activities. So you know, I don't know that it's totally necessary to feng shui the house, but there may still be too much personal items and different things. You may want to box some of that stuff. You may want to box some of that stuff up. It's interesting because these cards, I'm going to pull.
And I just want to let you know, I don't live on the property and things are already bought.
Yeah, that's just not.
And it's staged. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not making sense. So I'm going to pull the cards electronically and I hate to pull cards over again, but this just wasn't even answering. It just wasn't even answering your question. So I'm going to try.
So it's, is it being, I mean, is it just like standing empty? Is it?
Right. It's staged just for showing. Yeah. And there's minimal stuff in there just, you know, so it looks nice for showing. It's kind of like a model home type.
Right.
And so there's very little even in like closets and stuff. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
enough
so that
to not
isn't,
look,
hold on a second, where's this going?
Okay. And there, I mean, yeah, because I'm sure probably the realtor went through with you and, you know, explained, you know, like if there's pictures on the wall, you know, this and that, if there's too much stuff in there, it makes it hard for other people to visualize their stuff in there.
Right.
That kind of thing, right?
But there's not. I'm going to do this the old-fashioned way and get my actual cards because the computer's not cooperating.
It's buzzing out.
because I usually do pull the cards electronically, and I it's quicker, and I'm usually happy with the reading, but now it's locked up, and so let me just get out my box of cards here, and it's, they're the same cards, and here we go. Okay. This makes much more sense. Fascinating. Okay. The three cards I got on this are set your sights higher. That means, you know, don't settle for don't buy into this. The right purchaser is going to come along. They're going to offer you the price that you want, and don't fall into this trap. You know, sort of like what I was talking about with the last caller about settling for some low offer, like the house flipper guy that wanted to come in, and do not settle for that. Increase your standards. The next card that I pulled on this, it says that somebody wants to help you. Now, are you happy with your realtor?
I'm doing a for sale by owner, so I'm the one handling everything. And I used to do real estate in the past, so
Maybe there is something, even though you're doing the for sale by owner, there might be someone or something that can help get the property more exposure.
Either that or, because I was planning on using the profits from the property on my business, and people often tell me that I'm going to get a help from an investor. So I don't know, maybe that information
okay.
is interfering
well,
with that.
Well, saying to wait, then the final card is saying to wait. Do not rush into action right now. Bide your time for better results. So what I'm getting is that it is not going to close soon. It's not going to close soon because the people who, you know, the right people aren't going to come by. Since it is for sale by owner, a lot of times people think that people who are selling by owner are desperate. So you're going to get like these bottom feeders coming.
Oh, no, I'm going to a realtor. I take the calls. That's all. The realtor's on the MLS. So they don't know. It's an
okay.
owner's answering. They think
okay.
I'm a showing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, the helpful person is probably the investor for the business, but the big
mm-hmm.
message is wait. It's not going to sell soon. And this reading's been a little bit difficult for me. So close to the last caller, it's like, I don't want to just give you the same readings, but as the last person, and then even the computer didn't want to cooperate. But again, these messages are what it means to you, and you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job of discerning that. The helpful person. Okay, so that's not the realtor. That's probably an investor with respect to your business, so that. Getting the equity out of your house isn't, that it can wait for the right person, because I look at the wait mermaid and the set your sights higher mermaid, and that's telling me that, you know, there's no need to you can get a fair price, and you don't have to sell to someone who's flipping houses or an investor or something along those lines.
Can't sell myself out at all.
Right, exactly. And that you will get what you need with respect to the assets you need for your business. But the big strong message here is wait. And the next card is that, because I'm just like flipping them over just to find some more things to say and separate from the energy of the prior caller. This is weird. Usually they mix up, but two house calls in a row, it's kind of like confusing.
confusing me here. It says break free, and I think what it's saying, what the break free is saying to me, is just
it's
really break free from this fear that it's not going, that it's not going to work out. We've got an awful lot of fear around real estate these days because of the recent market crash and because of all the stuff that we hear about the economy and things like that. And you know, we get so
So are you picking up by the end of the summer?
Yeah, by the end of the summer, for sure. By the end of the
summer, for sure.
Okay. And again, I just didn't want to talk about time because I still felt like I was tied to the energy of the prior caller because I had talked to her for at great length once before. So.
Yeah, I think your freedom was is me breaking free of this because I don't have any fears that it's not going to sell. But I'm certainly going to feel like, you know, since this has been going on for a year, that once it closes, that I'm going to have, I'm going to be free.
Right, exactly. So, but it really, so it's almost like I think that you can get to, I think you can get to the break free, and maybe that's where this investor is, or these other options as far as the business goes, you can break free from the energy, you can break your ties to the house and make just the sale of the house more just a formality. I think that that, if you've got other options as far as the financing of your business, that will even break you further free from the home, so that because now that since you're using them assets for your home to fund your investment, it really hasn't broken free because the old chapter is the financing for the new chapter. So,
I wasn't able to get any financing on it because it was on sale. I mean, because it was on the market. I tried and I didn't know.
Well, I think that it's going to come from a different. I think that the help for the business is going to come from a different place.
Right.
So, continue to seek out who it is that this helpful person that the mermaids are talking about. But then make sure that they're helpful. You know, make sure that they are actually helpful. And again, I think it might just be that if you take your focus off the house, kind of like the watch pot never boils theory, and do look for these outside investors and do look for alternative sources of funding for your business, putting your focus on your business, that'll free up the energy about the house, and the house might even sell a little bit way because, you know, there really is no time, and we drag at, but there is, you know,
right,
easy to say there's no time, but there is time, you know, but we create,
yeah,
but we create time.
Spirit
right.
is timeless. We're the line segments.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if you focus on your business as opposed to the house, that'll free up the time continuum around the house, and it'll sort of seem like it goes quicker.
So create an illusion, huh? Delude myself a little bit.
Well, we create an illusion that there's the time, so we might as well create the illusion that there's no time. It can work both ways. So, and even though we are doing all the right things and have all the right thoughts about something and we understand the situation energetically, you know, just in little tiny ways, our ego can kind of trip us up and get us a little, you know, and one of the great ways that we get hooked back into that, you know, not believing in the laws of energy is, you know, the ego will trick us into being, you know, fearful. And just the fact that you were calling and asking the question, you know, there's curiosity, you know, and there's a fine
yeah,
line.
Yeah, curiosity.
I mean,
I don't sense.
Because it's been for a while. Like you said, it's been over a year. So I typed in chat. It's like, I wish Maggie was on here. There was a friend of ours that she tried. It was almost 2 years before her house sold. But you know, I'm not seeing that. I would tend to agree with what Amy's saying. It's like likely, you know, end of the summer, beginning of fall, because you know, people during the summer, it's really, you know, people are kind of, you know, restless and shifting. But it's like when it gets into fall, if it's a good place, you know, like for children, if it's spacious, that kind of stuff, it's like, you know, somebody might move in, you know, oh, we're looking for a perfect house, you know, to school and whatever. So I'm thinking I would agree with Amy on that.
It's
Does
interesting
that,
that you said that, because it is. It's right in the proper location. It's a very sought out area. Walking distance from the school, what we call our light rail park and ride, our transportation system was in a couple of, you know, blocks that can walk.
Blocks.
And so
it's
really
place,
in a great area.
Everything.
Yeah, everything is great about it. And but the only thing, the reason I guess there's that bit of curiosity is I have kids, and you know, like I said, we're in an apartment already, but they're leaving for the summer with their brother to Nebraska. So I was hoping that, you know, I need to, well, not need, but I was hoping that if it's sold this summer, you know, I would start looking forward to see where we'd end up after it sells, if I needed to go that route, you know what I'm saying? Before
right,
the
yeah.
exactly,
yeah,
and it will.
Because you're not going to plan on being in an apartment, right?
Yeah.
That school activity happens in, like, June. But that's the thing, is like, curiosity can quickly you know, curiosity can quickly
become an attachment.
You know,
quickly
curious, but then you know, and then exactly, then the next thing you know, because exactly. So, really focus on your business. Focus on the future. Start focusing on manifesting the next chapter, the next home, and I think that'll speed up time. That'll speed up time as well. You know, the focusing on the home.
Look at the future as though it's there.
You know, the idea that this house thing, the house is getting more attention than it deserves. So I'd really urge you to start manifesting the next chapter, not to the point where it becomes an obsession where you need that for the you know, but if you start manifesting the next chapter, takes the focus off this house thing, and time will speed up around the house, and you'll be out of there by the middle of summer.
Light.
Oh, wonderful!
What I keep hearing is light. It's like keep your vibration light and fast, because the vibration of love, which is, you know, the anti-fear, but it's like vibration of love is lighter and faster. So it's like it's really quickening, it's rising, it's you know, moving to, like Amy said, to that next chapter. So it's like, yeah, just focus on where you're going, not necessarily, you know, where you've been. It's like where you've been is important, but it's like, you know, where you're heading off to, because that's where your joy is going to be. Focus on your joy.
I just came from a 2-week retreat where we meditate from, you know, 4:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. So I feel pretty light and pretty, you know, I have a lot of compassion and, you know, I guess love, not in an attached way. Do the angels see me as that? I mean, I don't want to delude myself. I feel purified, you know, but...
I'm just going to spit this out. This is the sense I get. Is it? You need to be more playful. You need to be more playful with it. You need to be more playful. You need to be more playful with it. It doesn't have to be. The angels like and Peg. We've got Peg to chime in here, but the angels are just so. Do this also effortlessly, and then humans, we just want to master things. We just want to master things. We want to be really good at it. So measure your spiritual growth and your connection with the angels and things like that by how happy and gleeful, how happy and and gleeful it makes you. I mean, it's wonderful to have an opportunity to engage in something like you just did. It's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. But as you know, you can't do that on a daily basis. You know, that was just a moment in time that was carved out for you to center yourself. So, just playful. Turn that time of introspection into playfulness. Peg, what do you have to say about that?
And the question was, as far as, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the whole question that
time.
She had.
She was just worried about time. It's like, and I'm worried about time here because we do have a couple other callers. But yeah, this caller is interested in, you know, when do we see her, you know, her place selling?
Yeah,
like,
well, I think, you know, like I had said in the beginning, you know, to keep track of what's going on. And you know, I feel that by the end of the summer you're going to know exactly you know what is going
where
on
I stand
that,
with it, yeah.
You know, and I just feel like you're going to have more information, you know, and I think that you're going to be able to see yourself exactly, you know, the time as the months go on, because you've just had it on sale for a while, and just trust the universe. You know, as your intention is that you want to sell this house in the best light, and you know, just keep looking for the signs, and you know, networking. Maybe there's people that, you know, you may be meeting along, there goes my computer again, you know, over the months that may help you in some way, you know, because you are looking or you're hoping that an investor will help you in some way. So, you know, maybe, okay, you know, just, you know, keep your options open and just kind of, you know, evaluate, you know, and trust that the angels will be putting you in the right place at the right time.
Right.
And it might happen at the
with
grocery
the right
store.
People.
You're squeezing lemons, you know. You just never know.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for your time.
I
appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Oh, okay. Have a great day.
And call us back and let us know when it sells. We'd be interested in hearing that, how the timeline went.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
You bet. All right, guys, we got about 12 minutes here, and we've got a couple callers here we haven't talked to yet, so let's get after this. We got 905 is next. They've been hanging on here, and it's sitting around. There we go. 905, we have you.
Hey, Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Dennis, Dream Master in the chat room. How are you?
Pretty good. What's your question for us today?
Hi, me and Peg. I have a question. Yeah, but you have another caller, so please take the other caller, please. And are you going to do any overtime?
Okay. We can do I can hang out and do overtime.
Yeah, well, I'll hang on. Just take care of the other caller. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. All right, 760 gets to be next. Dennis, deferred to you. 760, you're on with us.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. What's your question?
I was wanting to see, right now me and my husband are going, we're having some problems. He was going to leave at one point and then decided not to, but he couldn't, he said. And so right now I'm not sure what to do, and I wanted to kind of see if you can give me some advice.
Okay.
Is this your boyfriend?
What was that?
Is this your boyfriend?
No, my husband.
Oh, your husband. Oh. It sounds like, you know, I don't know. It sounds like he has a choice whether to stay or to go. And if he's going to go, then, you know, when is that going to happen? And,
yes.
You know, it's, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's almost like since he's decided he wants to leave, then he could at least, you know, give you a time as to when that's going to happen, if that's what he wants to do. But it also sounds like you need to speak with, you know, you need to have some really good conversations about exactly what's going to happen with the relationship.
Okay.
You know, because to be hanging on like that, you know, it's, I don't think, you know, well, it's, you know, it's, I think
yes,
it's common
courtesy.
Yes,
it's like
courtesy.
You come home mad all the time now. So I'm like lost.
Yeah. I would maybe suggest counseling.
Okay. Okay.
You know, maybe or a mediator or whatever. Maybe start out with counseling, and maybe, you know, try to get some concrete things settled, because it sounds like you deserve that.
Yeah.
So, see what Amy and... Oh, my goodness.
I was right by a train. I'm sorry, I was right by a train tracks.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay. It was a train going by. I can't stand it.
Oh.
Maybe Amy or Kelly.
Okay, well, I've got a very interesting reading here. First of all, the mermaids want you to stay optimistic. The situation is sucking the life out of you, and it's sucking the life out of you. It's making the aspects of your life that aren't that were once enjoyable no longer enjoyable. So really, they're urging you to stay optimistic. Then the next thing, I got the same card. I pulled five cards, and then I got the same card three times, which was a mermaid. And the rest of the reading, well, the three cards aren't a very happy card, but this won't be the first time on today's show that I've had to deliver bad news, so I'm getting pretty good at it. They're just saying that today has just been this crazy. You can tell it's Good Friday because it's just, you know, people are really suffering from their situations, and it's heartbreaking. You know, this card that came up three times is a caution card. Caution is warranted. Look deeper into this situation before proceeding further. Your husband is, you know, playing games, going back and forth, because he knows. I don't mean to be harsh, but when he's coming back, you know, it's for him. It's not for the family, it's for you. He's coming back because it's what's best for him. So they really, really are urging you to look into the situation, look at the ulterior motives. And it's difficult because women love to create nests, and sometimes we will overlook things so that we can have a nest. And so when he is back, you know, when times are good, it's easy to lean into to them, but they're urging you three times. And Chris can tell you one time I got a card for her three times, and it was spot on truth. So just, you know, engage in caution. Look out for what's best for yourself. And then the final card here says that there is going to be a blessed change. It sounds to me like it is the change. Sometimes a blessed change when it comes to relationships means renewed energy, renewed passion and a new relationship. I don't sense that in this because I just sense your exhaustion. And it's exhaustion so much that it's, you're just naturally gravitating to sadness when you're probably not as sad as you think you are. You're probably just really, really exhausted.
So that's why at the beginning they're urging you about the optimism, because once you get sad, your vibration's so low, you can't manifest anything. So it's like, oh, yeah, they better stay because, you know, I'm not going to be able to, you know, you're just too exhausted for change. You don't, you know, you're too exhausted for change. And that's what sometimes other people will, you know, intentionally or unintentionally do in a relationship is really just break the other person down. And they're not doing it to be mean. They're doing it because they're humans, and it's just sometimes it's just the best that we can do.
Yeah.
But they're really saying a major life change is going to bring you, you know, they're saying caution, caution, caution three times, and that a major life going to bring you great blessings. So I think that it's time to kind of change the dance here. I mean, he seems to think that he can just dance in and be this, not necessarily a bully or an ogre or whatever, but just somehow or other, he can come in and he allows his energy to envelop the whole situation. And all that's doing
is
exhausting you. It's exhausting you. So focus on raising your energy, whether it's by staying optimistic, seeing the other, you know, like we said to some of the other callers, to, you know, see yourself on the other side of this, but definitely try to break away from his energy. Stop breathing into anything that, because anything that he may be doing, whether it's good or bad, he's not doing for the well-being of the relationship. He's not doing it. It's not helping.
That's so true, because I've offered to tell him to let's go to counseling. He's like, we don't need it. And then I called him just a while ago, and he started like, it was nice, and he started like yelling about things I was doing wrong and how I should do things better. And I don't know where that came from. And I kind of just feel like, you know, if you just want to leave, you know, just get up and do it so I can know what to do from here on out.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that you get just hooked into the
before he comes home,
he gets hooked into the energy as well. And it's just a horrible, horrible place to be. And I don't think that a lot of his nastiness and verbal abuse and all of this is really directed at you. You're just you're just in the crossfire of it. It sounds like it's just much, much deeper issues that he's taking out on you. But it's not.
Yeah.
But it's so overwhelming. His whatever, this pain that he's in, I don't even know if it's somehow tied to physical pain or whatever, but whatever it is it's not the relationship. I think that's why this card came up three times as well. The things that he's saying, you know, you doing all this stuff wrong, that doesn't even remotely resemble reality. So you could go change all those things. You could wrap yourself up in saran wrap and answer the door in saran, you know, whatever. It's not going to help. You're still going to be miserable. It'll be like, that's the wrong kind of saran wrap, whatever. So really just focus on what life would be like
without him at the moment.
So find some interest. Find some things that interest you. Find some things that bring you passion. And it's so hard when you're so exhausted. But that's what's going to raise your energy level and raise your vibration and give you the strength and the courage to move on and to move on to the next chapter, because the way things are right now are not going to work. The same thing is if there is any hope in this relationship, and it's just so there's always hope, but the way things are right now, everything is so
broken, you changing that, you changing by just finding some whole total other vibrational pattern as opposed to leaning into his energy and all the abuse is going to change, is going to require him to change. Change will, it won't be like, oh, it'll motivate him to change. It's going to, you know, but the laws of physics are going to require him to change. And whether that change is for one where he is more committed to coupleship, or that change is that it just, you know, finally sends him packing, remains to be seen. It could go either way, but at least you will be taking charge, and you won't just have to be following his dance steps.
Yeah, because every day before he comes home, I'm worried, like, oh, is the house clean? Is he going to get mad about this? And that's what it is. I'm exhausted of that, and I don't want
yeah,
to feel like
that.
Yeah,
it is exhausting because there's not anything, you know, the house could be clean. Everything could be perfect. You could have a perfect meal.
And
you could have perfect. You could have everything,
wrong,
and it still would not be enough for him because that's not what's wrong. So,
okay. Wow, that was so good. Yes.
So good luck with it. It's a very
thank you very much for that.
It's a very difficult place, but the more that you can, you know, change, you know, the more that you can find, I think, outside interests and things like that, it's just going to change up everything, and then it will reveal the fact that it's not you. It will reveal the fact that it's not you. Right now, people love to say things over and over again, thinking if they say them enough times and if they say them loud enough, they make them true. But that isn't, but you know, the truth doesn't happen. It's just there patiently waits to be revealed. So good luck with everything.
Good luck. Thank you very much for that. It really helped me to think about a lot.
Alrighty, sounds good. Well, and call back and let us know how it goes. You know, we do like to follow up and how things are going. Alrighty, thank you so much.
Bye.
Alrighty, bye. Alrighty, well, we still have 9:05. I don't know if you guys want to field Dennis's question today. Are you guys up to that or not?
Sure.
Sure. That was enthusiasm.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I'm on my way.
Hi, Callie. You got Amy and Peg on the line? Hey.
Yep.
Hi.
Yep. All of us here.
Hey, I just had
a little
question.
I was going to say, I should just unmute Chris for the heck of it here. It's echoing. You hear it?
Well, it's because you caught me with my fan phone, you know? I was just about
well,
to
put them on, quick, Chris.
Dennis called for reading.
No, I asked for. I'm calling for with a question.
Okay, well, whatever. Jeez, Dennis.
Whatever.
Dennis, it's you. You're echoing. What are you doing?
I'm hoping I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, it is you, Dennis.
Where's the echo? Yeah.
It's Dennis because it doesn't happen when he speaks.
Yeah, here. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Hang on. Just a second. Dennis, hang on here. We're going to go mute. And let's see. What happened? Okay, there we go. See? Yeah, we're not. Okay. Okay, Dennis, it's you. We know it's you. Are you on speakerphone? Are you too close to the computer?
You know what I am.
No,
okay.
It's not you, Peg.
No?
No, it's not you, Peg.
No, I threw my headset across the room.
It's on Bluetooth.
Yeah, I'm just going to shut my computer right off. No, I wanted to ask. Okay, my computer is off. Do you still get an echo?
All right.
Echo.
Nope.
Yes. It's because he's on a Bluetooth prop.
No, I'm on a landline.
An echo.
Okay, well, anyway.
I'm all by myself.
Everybody else shut up and let Dennis ask his question, right?
There we go.
All right, I'd like your perspectives on the blood moon the eclipse and the Grand Cross in astrology. And I have
you
others.
You want Ron questions, man.
No, and I have others, too.
You'll have to mute Dennis while anyone else talks.
Okay, there we go. Dennis, don't be finished. It's like I'm going to mute you here while we talk. So, okay, we got here we are. Thank you. Okay. So we got the question on the Grand Cross, the lunar eclipse, and the, what was the third one?
Well, he said blood moon, but that is what a blood moon, it is. The blood moon was the eclipse. That is what it is. It's the eclipse.
You know, and I think some people, because we talked a little bit about it, oh, man, I think it was actually on Wednesday with Ron's bit, where some people, just depending on what hemisphere they saw it in, some people saw the moon red, and it turned red. It's like, now, where we were at, the children and I got up in the middle of the night, we went out, we sat on the porch, and we watched the shadow pass across. It was pretty cool. They were sitting there going, Mom, we're called. Go put on your coat. We got to go potty. Good. Go put on your pajamas. I was like, whatever. So they were all out there in the pajamas, you know, watching the thing phase across. But it wasn't red. It was just like, you know, really, really bright white, if anything.
Yeah, and some places,
I don't know, energetically,
it's orange. I think that it's going to be called, you know, and it's going to show up as whatever, because whatever's in the atmosphere is going to influence what
right.
color
you see. Right.
There's, you know,
right.
we did go back to my show, Dennis, and any other show, like they talked all about all this and the end of the world, because there's going to be four back-to-back blood moons, and two of them are happening during Passover. Did you unmute Dennis again?
I did. Darn it. Yep. Okay. Muted him again.
Okay.
Sorry about
and,
that, Dennis.
You know, there's, and so there's a lot of the Bible pushers that talk about, oh, this is end of world prophecy stuff and all this kind of crazy stuff. And I've heard other people talk about, look, it's sort of like with Mercury retrograde. If you expect it to be a big deal, then it's going to be a big deal. If you're going to run around going, oh, my God, the energies are going to be so powerful, then they are going to be so powerful. If you're the people that don't know a damn thing about it, they really don't generally have the effect of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's my opinion. That's my opinion.
My opinion is pretty close to that. And my opinion is that people will look to anything outside themselves to not take personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And today's call was a perfect example of it. I have a migraine from today's call because people just
was that that
don't
first gal?
Want to take all of them. All of them. People just don't
oh, wow.
want to
one
take
of them.
Personal
don't know. Wow, okay.
ability. Okay? It's HARP. It's the moon. It's you, and it's your thoughts, and it's your, it's your reaction to these things. You know, the Bible said it'll show, you know, that these moons will come, and it's going to show the wonders of heaven. And everyone thinks that this whole, you know, that Revelations means that there's going to be people, you know, there's going to be clothes and little puddles and people puffing up. There is an amazing amount of renewed interest in spirituality going on. You know, there's this movie, I went to go see this movie last night, the Heaven is for Real, which was these evangelical it's a movie,
that.
You know, it isn't that, but it gave me hope that people are going to drop this frickin' dogma and realize that all of this stuff is just take personal response. You know, if you want an apocalypse, you can have an apocalypse. You know, you can have whatever.
And that's actually what Nostradamus saw.
And
was.
You
he saw
with
he
that?
Saw the what? You have fries with that? But that's what Nostradamus saw. Was he saw the future as like an 8-lane highway. Well, he didn't have highway, but you know, as 8 lanes or 8 different, you know, type of paths, and everything from a peaceful resolution to, you know, a bloody revolution. And it was all just the expectations that people had in between. And that's I like the Greg Braden stuff. I mean, that book that he wrote back and published in 2000, The Isaiah Effect, and where he says, you know, we can change events, even after they've started, by, you know, what he calls the ancient technology of prayer, where there's enough people with enough focused intent that it's like a single grain of rice, you know, tips the scale, and it's like it makes a difference. And it does, you know, the thing that I quoted today was like it does. Every thought, word, feeling, deed, you know, we have has an impact on our bodies as well as the universe. And when we change our thoughts, feeling, words, et cetera, it's going to affect everyone and everything, not only in what the world we can see, but the world we cannot see.
I agree.
Dennis, I'm going to try and mute again.
Do we want to unmute Dennis long enough to find out what he thinks about the gospel?
Yes.
Black moon.
Yeah, no, I switched phones, and I hope I'm not echoing anymore.
Yes, you are.
I'm still?
Yeah. You must just
echoing.
Be the line. Just the line.
Yeah.
I'm going to get going, guys. See you later.
Alrighty, thanks, Peg.
I think she already hung up.
Yeah, no, that was fine.
I'm going
to get him out of here.
Bye. No, that's good, Amy. And I'd like to ask both you, well, three women that I have on the phone right now, is your dream time, and, you know, I get into this, Chris, and you know, in regards to lucidity, like remembrance, like remembering, and you know, like we are multidimensional beings, where that a lot of messages are really coming down now. You know, your sharings on that, right? Because I've been getting huge.
I think what I see happening is an echo. But other than the echo, what I see happening...
Hang on, okay. Hang on, Dennis, I'm going to mute you just for a moment.
It's only one message. It just sounds like 50 messages because of the echo.
This could be... it does feel like Good Friday. It's like, okay, why don't we just do a little...
I got to run for
that.
I'm
Good Friday.
Take it easy.
Do a little reenactment of the crucifixion here. This is so painful.
Alrighty, thanks,
what I see happening, and then I've got to go too. What I see happening is that the truth is becoming impossible to. The truth has become. People have just spent money and time and energy and everything trying to, shroud
the truth.
And the truth is now just cannot be. Cannot be hidden, whether it's in the news, whether it's about, you know, missing airplane or, you know, conspiracies or this or that.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask if anybody's heard anything on the missing plane.
I can't do missing plane today. I've already been through enough.
Okay.
Sorry. I just can't.
No problem.
It's just...
I was just curious if they found it yet, you know, as it showed up.
But, you know, it's all about the truth. And like that caller who yelled at Chris for asking a question and then not wanting to hear the truth, I mean, that is each and every one of us. We do not want to hear the truth unless it's something that we like. And,
unless it fits with our preconceived idea
of
what it might be.
It's just the truth. You know, it's just about, you know, seeking the truth and that, just getting to the truth. And anyway. Who's still with us? Is it just Dennis and Kelly and Chris? Or Chris?
Let's see. Chris had to go there, and it's like, yep, it's you and me and Dennis, and now we do have another caller, but I'm not sure who it is. Oops, and
well,
Dennis, you're
me.
Back on because we're echoing.
Yep.
Okay, well, I've got to go get back to work, but happy, have a blessed Easter, everybody.
Yeah, wonderful sharing.
Alrighty, thank you. Be blessed, even if you don't celebrate Easter, be blessed. And remember, my big message today is the big message of Good Friday is that at any point in time, we can change our mind and
change our mind.
There we go. And when our mind changes, our reality changes, right? Because how we perceive things in the outer world. Ah, and she took off on us. Okay. Okay, Dennis. You and me?
Yeah, it's you and me, Kelly.
We've got area code 201 with us. It's like I don't know. Do you want to open this up to 201 here?
Well, I don't mind. I'm off today. I'm not working.
Hey, cool. All right.
Hi guys, how are you?
Pretty good.
I wanted to, is it better for me to ask a question or just to see if you have any messages for me or whatever comes through the cards?
Oh, sure. All righty. Thank you for hanging on. It's like, yeah, we had a previous caller from 201, and for some reason I thought it was the same person, so it's like it's not. But, yes, you know what? If you would like a real quick, I'll do a birth card reading for you here. What I need is your month and your day and then the current age you are.
Okay, June 15th, and I'm 33.
June 15th, and you're 33. Okay, so you're a two of diamonds, and you've also got a jack of spades as your planetary ruler. So what I'm going to do, because a lot of times if I don't do the planetary ruler first, I tend to forget that one. Let's see, your jack of spades, it holds a strong, or adds a strong creative urge to your personality that can manifest in a lot of different ways. For, you know, one way, you might feel drawn towards acting or some form of artistic expression. Okay, but if you're not, you know, you have a lot of creativity that you do apply to whatever work you are doing, you know, and that can be, I'm sorry, bricklaying, cake making, whatever it is, you know, that you do. I saw a really creative outline for gardening just yesterday on Facebook. They had made this leaf, and I can't remember where in the heck it was, but they had made from the, it was an aerial shot, and they made this whole entire leaf, and each section of the leaf was like a different type of fruit, vegetable, whatever, that people could eat. It was like an edible leaf. I was like going, wow, that's cool. Anyway, that was very creative.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but the Jack of Spades is also called the card of the thief, and because of the strong creative influence, people with that card often make few distinctions sometimes in the area of honesty when it comes to getting what you want. It's one of the one-eyed Jack cards. So sometimes other people can see you as either being one-sided in your opinions or your attitudes, but it's also the card of the spiritual initiate. You might feel drawn towards the study of spiritual subjects, which can transform your life to a higher level. And then that's the planetary ruling card. And then your birth card itself is the Two of Diamonds. And the Two of Diamonds is called, I believe it's the Wheeler Dealer card, yes. Because you've got that innate intuition that, you know, you have. And if you follow that, it's always going to lead you to, you know, your success and show you the right path to follow. And inherent in that intuition is really a high set of values, and often you feel like you have a mission in life, which many times can involve partners and others. There is a certain amount of ambition, you know, a lot of times for money, because the diamonds, you know, does deal with finances and with monetary things, but the deeper meaning for it is values. Your ambition is good because sometimes, you know, it keeps you motivated, because otherwise sometimes, you know, you can get into a rut, especially in, you know, close relationships. And I know my favorite saying, my grandmother's favorite saying, it's like, you know, don't lay in a rut too long, because a rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out. You know, you don't want somebody coming along throwing flowers on you. So work on getting out of the rut. Okay. But if you tap into your inner guidance, you know, you're always going to find a path waiting for you that's fascinating and rewarding. You do best by establishing yourself in, like, one type of business. You know, find something you really love and stick with it. It's one of the most successful cards in the deck, and really, you know, it goes back to right what Amy was saying about that personal responsibility. Really, it's totally on you if you're not happy and productive, because this is a really good card. You're called the Wheeler Dealer card because you love to be involved in business, finance, you know, especially with friends and associates. It is a partnership card. All the twos are partnership cards, which and they, you know, you're usually going to choose to work with other people rather than work alone. You do better in a partnership.
Right.
Two is the number of logic. And, you know, two diamond people have a mind, you know, it's really quick at making distinctions and evaluations. Oftentimes you're attracted to and really good at working with, like, computers for the same reason. It's only when you get emotionally unfulfilled that your really capable mind becomes pessimistic or argumentative, okay? Financially, it's one of the most fortunate cards in the deck. You know, you have the ability to make large sums of money, especially, now it does say after the age of 35. You know, you got a lot to be grateful for, and that's the one thing, is that attitude of gratitude, you know, like the secret, you know, carry your gratitude rock and, you know, really, really hang out with that. And, you know, because whatever you're thankful for, whatever you're focused on in the positive way, you're going to attract more of it.
Right.
Really be careful that your social obligations don't overtax your health and your well-being, you know, because sometimes you get so caught up in your work, and it's like you got little ones, and you know, I'll tell you what, while you got little ones, that is your work, believe it.
Oh,
but
I know.
You also have that. You also have that outside job that goes money, money, money. Yeah, exactly. But you know, don't get so caught up in taking care of other people that you forget to take care of yourself. And it's the cautionary that the stewardesses always give us on the airplanes, where they say, if an emergency happens and your air mask comes down, you know, they go, mother, put your air mask on first, because if your air mask is not on and you know you pass out, you cannot help your child. So take care of yourself, especially when you got. Yeah, take care of yourself, especially when you've got people to take care of. Okay. You can make large sums of money in real estate if that's of interest, especially in your later years. You can maintain really good health throughout your lives. And actually, this is one of the cards that is likely to live to be the age of 100 because, you know, you somehow really have a really good constitution. You love to mix and mingle, and you like to arrange deals with, you know, with other people, whether it's, you know, hey, I got this really great guy I want to set you up with, you know, that's the type of deal, too. For some, you know, now on the flip side, because there's always a flip side, you know, for some of the Two of Diamonds, that life, you know, has a special mission, and that brings in higher knowledge of some kind to the world and to the people they love. And those are the ones, you know, you're the messengers of light. In romance and relationship, you've got strong, fixed attitudes. You've got ideas and principles about love that are very admirable. And, you know, that's on the one hand. And then on the flip side, they can also, those same really, you know, wonderful things can be the greatest hurdle to your romantic and emotional happiness over your own self sometimes. Some of, you know, you've got to learn that love and marriage are more than a fixed idea. Once you're in a relationship, though, you know, whether good or bad, a lot of times you get stuck because of those fixed principles, and it can cause you to linger where happiness is not. When that happens, you know, you become very negative-minded, of course, you know, and inclined to negativity, and manifest really that argumentative side of this card. So, yeah, it's like, and you've got, let's see, you've got a Pluto card. You've got an Ace of Hearts Pluto card indicating a strong but hidden need for affection, which can go unnoticed or unacknowledged because sometimes you get so involved in the mental side of life and your work or business, but that inner need for affection and self-respect is really at the heart of most of the relationship issues and problems.
Yeah.
You know, you're a very intellectual person. You know, you got this powerful mind which serves you so well in your career, and it can actually be a stumbling block in personal success, you know, success in personal relationships, okay? Because it, your mind, like, inhibits your heart, you know, something like that. It's like you're thinking so much, you don't sometimes take the time to feel, okay? So really, and, you know, I've got two diamond children, and I do say that about them, is like, you know, you got to crack that shell, and you got to see what that beating heart underneath is really wanting, okay? But, you know, with anything, you know, that inhibition can be overcome. You can really learn to communicate intimate feelings that are necessary for a healthy relationship, so that, you know, there's always that silver lining on the cloud. So, you know, you've got good possibilities there. And then let me see. You said this is your 33rd year. Is that right?
Yeah, going on 34.
Okay. Oh, you're 33 or 34?
I'm 33, going on 34.
33 going on 34.
Probably 34
okay,
in
there
June,
we go.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So yeah, so you're almost at the end of your time frame here. And usually what I'll tell people is, you know, the best time to do one of these is like right at the beginning of your you know, birth year of your new year. Because what you have with this particular card system is very, I'll say it's very mathematically based. But each of the planets is assigned 52 days to be, you know, like go through different signs and times and periods. So of course, your Mercury time frame starts at your birthday. It goes until August 5th. Then Venus starts August 6th. And you've got Mars starting September 27th. You've got Jupiter starting November 18th. You've got Saturn starting January 10th. You got the Uranian time frame starting March 3rd. And I'm trying to think where we're at right now. This is because then the Neptune time starts April 24th. So we're getting real close now. Today's only the 18th. So you've got, yeah, you've got about another week worth of the Uranian time frame. And then you're going to be into Neptune. And then that's, you know, yeah, this is going to be your birthday. And you're going to be back to Mercury. So where you're at right now, this whole year, it's the fourth phase. And that really, it's kind of what they call the workaholic card. It's really wanting to be stable. It's really wanting things to be stabilized. And you're willing, you know, and in some years it might be a year of really like hard work. You know, you probably worked hard either at stabilizing relationships or career or, because spades also deal with your health and career choices. But it's just, you know, really working at whatever it is that's important to you. Yeah, just kind of looking back through. You've had some endings. You had like the Nine of Spades. You had the Nine of Diamonds. So you had some doors close or some things, you know, transition and close that maybe you didn't, you know, if you didn't feel like that you were ready for them, it might have felt like, you know, like a disappointment. If it felt like something that you were ready to let go of, it's like a graduation. It's like, you know, completing high school and you get that degree and go, yes, I graduated. I'm going on. Yay. You've also had, let's see, you've got a couple sixes in here. You've got that six was a six of hearts in Jupiter and a six of spades as your Pluto card. So this is also a year of kind of fact-finding. It's kind of like figuring out, you know, why you're here, why you want to be here, what your mission is, you know, should you decide to accept it, Jim, the old Mission Impossible moment. But, you know, really figuring out, you know, another step of, you know, where you're going, what you're doing, what this lifetime is about.
Right.
Now, the Uranian time frame, you got the Ace of Spades on that one, and that's called, typically it's in a lot of places it's called, you know, like the death card, but it doesn't mean somebody's going to die. What it means is it's like the phoenix bird that is consumed in the fires, you know, of its own fires, whatever, and it, a purification, and the bird turns to ashes, and then from out of the ashes arises the new phoenix bird. So it's that kind of transformation that you've been going through this year, I'll say, or, you know, that you're going to experience. And interestingly, it's in the Uranian time with, you've got an Ace of Hearts in there also. So you know, you've been going through this major transformation of, you know, starting new love, a new love of something, whether it's, you know, new love of children, new love of job, new love of spouse, you know. But there's something, and it's tied up with that transformation that you're going through. You've also kind of, what you're going to be coming into is your Neptune time frame. That's the Eight of Spades. And with that one, you are, you know, you've got a lot of power. You've got, it's like, you know, the power card of the deck. You've got a lot of power to accomplish what you want to, okay? It is in Neptune, so there's a caution. Neptune is, you know, dreams, but dreams can also, you know, dreams and goals, but they can also be illusions. So just make sure that you don't have on a set of rose-colored glasses so you don't all of a sudden go, oh, my goodness, you know, my dream is a nightmare, okay? The other thing with the power cards is just be careful how you wield your power, because if you don't do it in, I'll say, a kind and loving way, it will come back like the boomerang, proverbially, and whack you in the head, okay? You will get a whack back from that. So, you know, so you can achieve a lot. This is, you know, this is really a good power card. But again, it's like, it's all our free will. You know, we can have really awesome, amazing, wonderful cards, and if you don't take advantage of them and, you know, step out and do those things, you know, then you kind of, you know, it's kind of, that time frame has passed, and you kind of go, oh, dang, you know, I just have to wait for the, you know, next one to come along. But all the stuff, you know, any of the things that you'll hear any of us say, it's all subject to your free will. So was there any specific question you had? It's like
I said, and a lot of what you said makes a lot of sense, because I just feel lately more determined and more motivated to start exercising. I'm trying to figure out what my path is as far as a career, to change my job. I've been there for 14 years. I just feel like I've grown it, outgrown it. And I'm
I do
event planning on the side, and I just did a baby shower for my friend, and she's just like, I'm still getting compliments, like, you definitely have a gift that you should do that. So I've done a couple of parties, and I've been getting a lot of people who say, you know, you should definitely look into doing this as your career. I've sent my resume to a very well-known wedding planner. He does a lot of weddings for celebrities and things like that. Just so happens my patients at my job work for him.
Cool.
So it's like, not, I don't think there's a coincidence in that, but I don't know.
No,
if it's meant
there's
for
not.
In fact, to have it, I guess it will. If it's meant to be, it'll be. I know that.
It's really funny because you've got, because your other Jupiter card was the King of Diamonds, which was the businessman's card. So that is definitely about, being into business, you know, for yourself. You've also got the Queen of Diamonds right next to it in Saturn. And that was about self-mastery, which is where you're going with that. The other thing you have that's really cool is the second part of that Pluto and Result are cards are read as a pair. That Six of Spades that indicates, you know, here's where you're kind of going, is combined with the King of Spades, which is literally you are the captain of your own ship. So you would do very well either being in business for yourself or, you know, being in that business that you love. So it's like, absolutely, you know, put some – that's cool. That's really cool that you've taken the steps you have. That's very amazing and very good.
My question is, this is the time. I feel it too, though.
Yeah.
My question, what's really exciting
coming up is on your when you turn 34, it's like on your next birthday, your long range card for the whole year is that King of Spades. And it's like, this is really amazing because a lot, you know, King of Spades, it doesn't really show up in people's readings that often. It really doesn't.
Really?
You know, it's only in certain cards for certain years, you know, that kind of stuff. But it is about being the master of your own business, of your own ship. It's like, you know, and the reason you're the master of that ship is because you've built it, you know, board by board, you know, every, you know, inch of it, every nuance, and you're ready to, you know, take the wheel and be the captain of it. So it's like, that is awesome. And that's what's coming. I'll say that's what's probably coming up because it looks like I'm just kind of, you know, taking a look at forward and going, yeah, go for this. That sounds, it's an awesome time to do this.
Well, I'm hoping it's either
you're on
that
the right track.
Because, you know what, also though, my sister and a cousin of ours are working on creating like our own, it's called an empowerment program for women. And we just started doing that as well, and I was going to incorporate the whole event planning in it, teach women, just moms, single parents, if not single married women, just how to manage money and ways to get things like couponing and ways to do things on a discount just to save money, because that's one thing that you're not really taught in college is money management. You're taught everything else, but...
Right.
That's not really taught. So, I mean, you could see that could be also what you see. I don't know. It could be a combination of one. But my question I wanted to ask you was if you actually saw me having any more children.
Oh, okay. Yeehaw. All righty. Let's look at that one. Well, and that's, you know, now interestingly enough, that's kind of what the, you know, the Ace of Hearts deals with is like, you know, that new love. And it's like it does indicate, you know, there's you know, new love can be a new child. Just kind of looking forward into next year here, seeing what you got coming up. I'm going to say there's not, you know, there's not anything maybe, you know, possibly directly. What I do see is you've got a Four of Hearts as a displacement card, which is, it's called a lesser marriage card, but it can also be like, you know, it's very much a really strong love card. You've also got, and you've got it coming up, you've got that coming up twice for next year. It's like almost a year from now. It's like you got in the Uranian time frame and the Neptune time frame, you've got that Four of Hearts too. So, you know, that's a distinct possibility. I mean, it's like, and it's something if you want to create that and make that happen, your environment card is an Eight of Hearts, and definitely you have the emotional power, you know, to do that. So if that's something that you want to do, you know, go for it.
Like timing is the essence of everything. So I'm like, I'm trying to get all these things going, but I'm like, I don't know if there would be a good time for me to get pregnant now. But then again, you know that saying, man plans, God laughs.
Yeah. To
be quite honest, when I was 17, I wanted to go be a hermit in Tibet and meditate in a cave until there was world peace, and God had this total other different thing, and I ended up with 5 children. So, you know,
nice.
God has a sense of humor.
He does. He sure does.
It's kind of like, what was it, El Dorado, where it says, you know, there's he's talking to the chief of the, there's your plans and there's the God's plans. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Very true.
You know?
Exactly. So it's like, even though I'm like, I don't know if it's a good time because I'm actually exercising now and I'm losing some of my baby weight from my daughter. So I'm like, I don't know how, if it's meant to be, it'll be, but if not, it's not. I'm like,
well,
I'm okay either way.
I was going to say, you know what, exercising is something that you should do anyway. You know, I mean, just, I'll just say, you know, having 5. Just the fact that, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, and it was so true, that in order to have a baby, you really need to be in the kind of shape that you would be if you're going to try to climb Mount Everest. So it's like, you know, being pregnant is not for wimps, and giving birth is not for wimps. And it's like, and you need to be in the best shape of your life. So it's like, if you're exercising, keep exercising. You know, it's like, that's a good thing. It's like, that's, you know, because it'll make you stronger. It'll make everything, you know, better. So, yeah.
That's true.
You know, but again, that's really free will. There's a lot of free will going on there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it looks really good for business, and it's like, you know, there's definitely that there, that probability, possibility there. If you want to make the baby happen, it's like, go for it, you know. But that's where the spades come in, in terms of, you know, take care of your health. So
exactly. That's
do it
the
all.
Spades
go
means
for it.
To take care of your health. Yeah.
You know, well, the spades deal with our health. It deals with our careers. It deals with, old age, death, dying. It, you know, it can deal with doors closing, doors opening. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like spades are kind of like, you know, referencing to, like, you know, the old people in the deck type of thing, and to what we get into when in our more advanced years. So it's like you get more of a spiritual focus. So yeah, spades can be a lot of things. So just depends on how you manifest it, you know. And what I've told people is like this, because this is a poker deck that I use. It's like playing a hand of poker. It's like if you're a really good player, you can bluff with a pair of twos and win the hand, and somebody who had almost, you know, like a royal flush will throw their hand in and you beat them, you know. So you can have really lousy cards and play it well and it's done, you know, or you can have a fantastic hand and you go, oh, man, I'm going to get beat, and you throw it in, you know. So it just depends on, you know, Kenny Rogers, a gambler. You know, you got to know when to hold him and know when to fold him and know when to walk away and know when to run, you know. So
exactly. Yeah.
So it is you. It is all up to you. It's like, you know, it's what those possibilities, and it's what you want to create, because at that moment, it's what you are creating. It's what you're choosing to take on.
That's true. Very
so
true.
Hope that helps. Hope
yes,
that makes sense.
Thank you. Yeah, it does. I'm basically on the right path, so that's pretty much.
Yes, definitely. I would say definitely. It's like if that's what you're doing, yeah. If that's and follow your own intuition, follow your own gut feeling, because you've got a lot of good intuition. You do.
It's always easier than to tell someone else than to have my own.
You know, absolutely. You know what? You know, and we say that.
Forget it.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, my son has actually got his birthday on the 16th, so yeah, same month, the day after yours.
So it's so, like
yeah,
my intuition will say one thing, but it's like always a battle in my head.
There's like 4 people in there, and they're going, well, wait a minute, well, this, well, that, well, hey, wait a minute, well, I'm thinking about this, well,
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Alrighty. But yeah, definitely. I mean, well, and that, like I said, what, you know, a lot of us who, you know, people who do have good intuition and do good, you know, good psyche, if you will, we tend to call and ask other people simply because it's hard to see the forest for the trees. You know, a lot of times it's easier for someone else to have, you know, who's not inside the forest, you know, to have a little more clarity on what's going on. And we all do that, you know, so yeah.
Exactly.
So, well,
exactly.
Thank you for your call today, though.
Thank
hope
you.
That hope it helps day. And thank you too. Thank
Thanks.
You so much for calling in.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. All righty, let's see here. And there we go.
Okay.
Dennis, did you get the echo
done?
Nope.
I'm still working on it. Oh, God.
Okay, I'm trying to do it. No.
I'm still working at Kelly.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Yeah, I know. I just got a phone call right now. I'm going to pass it off.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. No, your energy is incredible, and the way you channel is like huge, and I love what you do, and you know, again, what can I say?
Thank you for the compliment. Thank you for God. And thank you, God. Yes, I'm not going to forget my angels and everybody else who assists in this process. Right.
Well, you do beautifully and eloquently. And
oh, it's an interesting day. Wow.
Yeah, no, high energy. That's okay. You know? that's okay. I had some really interesting dream time. You know, last
and
night.
I'm wondering, have you ever read that guy? He does the oh, this is going to drive me buggy too because I can only hear it. It's like shamanic journeys, and I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is. He does the thing where it's like he saw this jaguar man, and he started having like lucid living dreams. I mean, if you've ever read it, you know it's like I think medicine wheel, medicine path. I don't know, I can't remember, but it's a trilogy of books. And I've got it.
I've heard of this medicine wheel before, but yeah.
Yeah, well, no, the medicine wheel is Native American, but it's
yeah.
like the medicine path or something like that. But it was this guy, he... Okay, hang on, forgive me, Dennis. I'm going to be honest just for a moment.
No, please, free for a moment.
Okay, hang on, let me free. There we go. It helps when I don't have to hear myself twice. But the guy's name starts with an H, and it's I know I've got it in my book library here somewhere. I've got several boxes of books I don't have unpacked yet. But it's Wise Man Walker, Walking the Way. Wise Walker, Wise Path. I'm gonna have to look that up and think about that and look that up. And now I'm gonna unmute you. Here we go. And then I'm gonna be quiet.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know where this echo is coming from. Sorry.
Oh no, it's
you know, it's the energy. It's very interesting the way this works.
Yeah.
But yeah.
See, and I don't know whether you can hear me twice or not. I can hear myself.
No, I can hear you once. No, you sound fine.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm echoing.
You're not echoing. I hear myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're not echoing. I'm the one. I'm getting an echo, but I. Yeah. Anyway.
When the energy gets really ramped up, you know, I try to be still a little bit and breathe a little bit. just to come back to center. This is what I do.
Right.
But anyway, it doesn't matter.
That works.
Well, it works for me. No, Kelly, you're an awesome spirit. You know, like you know your channel automatic.
You know, I'm not in denial. I'm just gonna say, okay, sure. That sounds good to me.
Well, I'm just mentioning to you, like people say to me, oh, you know, you're psychic, right? You know, you call yourself psychic, like Chris, whatever, like that. It's like, no, I'm no psychic. I'm not. You know.
We're intuitive. You have those gut hunches, right? You have those
intuitive,
little voices
whatever.
That tell you blah blah blah, right?
Yeah, blah blah blah, whatever, right? I just vibrate in a different frequency. That's all. You know.
There you go.
You know, I'm still one of the same. You know, I'm no different than anybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is key, right? You know, like a lot of quote unquote intuitive psychics, whatever, like that. You know, they get their ego right in front of them, and it's like
you know,
throw.
And that's Yeah, and I want to say that I just heard this about Reiki, about somebody had said something to the effect of Reiki is not, I want to see, let me get the, let me, what I
heard. I've heard
it
in negative connotation in regards to Reiki, yes.
Yeah, that, you know, it's not as pure as it once was simply because people are getting their egos involved when they are doing the attunements. And it's shifting it a bit. And
yes,
I mean, I was very blessed to have a really, I'll say, egoless teacher. And she was just really, you know, phenomenal. But she did let us know. I mean, she said, these things are out there. You know, like the Reiki Alliance. I mean, she paid $10,000 for her Reiki, you know, mastership and all that good stuff. And then she went in, after she got that one, she went and she took several other, you know, she studied under several other Reiki people, like independents, you know, people who were not of the Alliance or whatever. And what she came, and then she formulated her own Reiki program, and she said, I do not believe that people need to learn their prosperity lessons before they become Reiki masters, because not everybody can come up with $10,000, you know, to be a Reiki master. So, you know, she offered this to us at a, I'll say, an affordable price that I could afford. Otherwise, I would not have been a Reiki master myself in this lifetime, probably. But at the same time, there's, you know, there's this whole thing with value, and that's what people, you know, get into, you know, I don't know, how do you charge for this, right? You know, this and that. And some people,
yeah,
you know, go run around and go, oh, well, yeah, see, as, and a lot of people do. I mean, I'm still struggling with it in some ways because, you know, so many people go, oh, well, you know, if this is really free, you know, if you're really spiritual, you know, you won't charge anything, blah, blah, blah. The money will come other ways. Well, yes and no. I mean, when you pay for what we would consider an education, you know, then what we are doing is like if we're, say, you know, if we hang out a shingle, you know, to do something. Now, what I did, I compromised. I did it on a donation basis, and I said I can't judge people's pocketbooks, and I said, you know, I would just tell people, it's like, you know, this is normally what Reiki masters get, but I'm, you know, want to make this affordable for you, so, you know, whatever you feel that you get the good out of it. I mean, and I've had, you know, I worked on people, and I would just say, if you don't feel a difference, if you didn't get any good out of this, then don't pay me, you know, then don't donate anything. It's not really a donation.
Nice.
And never, never did anybody not donate, you know, but I didn't try to put a price on it for them. I simply, you know, left it up to them. So,
I went to an astrologer, right, when I was a teenager.
Right.
And
her
charge was $300. And it said I had $75.
Wow.
Yeah. And she said, that's fine. Okay. And I said, I'll pay her back. She said, don't worry about it. All right. And we left.
Wow.
That's fine. Eugenia Last. I don't know if you know her. It doesn't matter. And it's like, for me, I have two jobs. Okay. I have a job where that I make a living. I get a paycheck.
Right.
And
that's always good for paying the rent. Yes, the guitar company doesn't take wampum beads. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's what I do. You know, I pay my rent, I buy food, you know, I survive, I exist, right? But on the other end, I have one friend who always gives me crap, saying, Dennis, why are you doing your radio shows? Why are you doing all this work? It's like, well, you know what? I'm not expecting anything from anybody. You know,
I
do what I do, and that's all. And I always get this argument.
And if you have a message you want to share, that's why I do it.
That's all I do, right?
Right.
And I'm here and I'm available. You know, I'm not here to push and tell anybody. And I'm just here to share an offer. This is what I do. I'm human. And I'm not here forever. Oh.
Ah, I hear that.
No, I got to get away from this one. She'll give me shit. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm away from the phone.
We're on air. Remember, we're still on air. Keep it clean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. But yeah, it's you know, we're humans, and I do what I do to exist.
Right.
You know, for, you know, get a paycheck.
But then the pounds that we have, yeah, right, yeah. Because
yeah.
we have a quote monetary system.
Yeah, well, this is temporary, really.
Right.
You know, sure, it's existed for 4,500 years or whatever like that.
Right.
And it's not going to last too long for much longer. You know, it's going to be a unitary system, you know, sooner after our lifetime. But
I honestly wonder what currency God would use. I do. I wonder this. I contemplate this and go, how's that going to work?
Well, it's going to be interesting how this is going to work. And you know, this is where it comes in. And you mentioned this earlier, and, you know, more and more people have been mentioning this oneness of energy that we share within Source Core Conscious Energy, is that we will be looking after each other.
Right.
You know,
right.
the collapse of the Illuminati, the powers that be, the New World Order, whatever like that, blah, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I look at that as a fake system, the fake system by the imitation God wanting to do what the true God is going to do in a fine way, and God looks at it. The biggest difference I see is the true God, the Creator, which is what I consider him, is a God of love and works from that love vibration. The imitation God works from the opposite, works from the fear, from the limitation, has to use terrorism, has to use all these tactics to control, you know, whatever. And that's the biggest difference you see is, like, the true God operates in love and everything else does not. So it's really easy to discern which is which.
It's very interesting. There is one gentleman that was in your show, Scott Bull. You know, he says, I live in the 4th D. And he's like, well, that's very tricky to live in. Because,
Wow.
Hmm?
Yeah. How does he manage that? That's pretty interesting.
No, it is. And, you know, for me, and I know we're still in our cut, and for me, It's knowing that I'm multidimensional, and you know, I live through the dimensions. I exist throughout all dimensions, and I just
that's because you've learned how. It's like you're one of the forerunners, okay? Because that's where we're all supposed to be. That's where we're all heading to, is being able to see. Because right now we only see about 10% of the quote world as it exists, which ironically is about the same amount of our brain that we use. We use about 10% of our brain. We don't use about 90% of it. And conversely, what we see in the world around us is about 10%, and about 90% we don't see or perceive because we haven't opened to it, which is goes back to, you know, the vibrations activating the DNA, et cetera. And when we open to more of those, we are all going to be multidimensional beings, being able to see and perceive and live within all the realities at the same time. There won't be time, whatever, blah.
Right.
That makes sense?
It does.
I totally lose it.
No, isn't it beautiful, though? That awareness and acknowledgement and being, seeing this, you know, it's huge. And a lot of people get wrapped up over it. Yeah, so wrapped up in 3D distractions and deviations.
That's what I say. People forget what we're really here for and what's really happening right now. Right now, we are engaged in the battle for souls, if you will, which is essentially runs down to the battle for our spirit. And that's, you know, and so many people, by not believing in God or, you know, whatever, they just, I mean, and I've seen so many, you know, things going on about this. It's just like, oh, well, there's nothing there. There's this and that. I'm going, you know, guys, you're all in for a big surprise. I'm sorry. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen in a way that totally takes you by surprise.
Well, yeah, you know, people ask me all the time, Kelly, it's like, Dennis, you don't do nothing. You know, like I've been mentioned as being a turtle as opposed to the rabbit, right?
Who won the race?
Yeah. And I'm an observer. I'm a witness. You know, I'm not a proactivist. I'm an inactivist. I work within myself, and I work. The energy of
you work the in
the
microcosm.
I work micro. Macro. There are many micros,
right.
and I don't know them all.
Yeah.
Of course, I do not. Right.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I just flow with what is, and I just see what is. You know, sure, people call me naive and stupid, and you know,
those are not nice. Don't own those.
Yeah, I know, but whatever. You know, that's where they are, and I know where I am. Right. I do not take offense. Right. You know, I love people for where they are and who they are, for where they are right now in their timeline in their life. Right? Who am I to say?
Right.
You know, I can't push and tell. You know, I'm just here to share an offer. You know, you have a question, I have my and I also get flack on this too. Is looking at things in third person. You know. I gotta look outside the box. You know, I can't relate to another person. I can go on and on, Kelly. You know. Like, I'm a stoic. I have no emotion, you know. It's like, yeah, no, I have huge emotion, right? You know, it's whatever. I'm sorry.
I'm
all over the map. And
I think a lot of people are right now, Dennis. You're not alone with all the energies. I mean, and I know I kind of laughed with, you know, what Amy was saying about, you know, this show today is exhausting me. It's like, yeah, it could be that way, man. I don't know.
No, I caught a lot of energies from that.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, you know, Amy allowed that to get stuck on her a little bit, I felt. And that's why she felt the way she felt. But I will not allow that. I cannot allow that.
Right.
There's a lot of ways to maneuver through the energy of the universe and the way that we move through this 3D. And a lot of people get usurped, per se. And affected, right? And for me, myself, I can't allow that. There's no way. I can give, you know, sure, the energy of the universe is infinite. It's just where that you hold a balance, right? When you get drained a little bit, yeah, sure, you're gonna be drained if you allow it.
Right.
And it's interesting. Even quote unquote way showers, light workers, whatnot, are
we get tired. We do.
Of course we do. You know, and then we have our reserve and we build back up. You know,
right.
You know, we recharge our battery. You know. I'm available to all. I will not decline anyone. I'm careful with how much I put into someone, and then I'll just stop, right? Because I can't anymore. Because there are other ones that I'm being distracted by one, and where there's others that are asking.
Right.
And then I'll just drop. Yeah. You understand.
I do.
Yeah.
I had friends, I'll say when I first started learning. All the therapeutic touch, reflexology, all kinds of stuff. I practice on a lot of different people. And I had one friend in particular that It took me three times to really figure out what was going on. With this particular person, every time I would work on them, they felt like